Kırığı görüşürüz. Chapter 4, the incarnations of Godhead. So till now Maharaj Nimi was asking various questions to the Navayogendras. So six of his questions are answered. Now seventh question he is asking in the beginning of this fourth chapter. Shri Rajovacha Yani Yani Hakarmani यैर्यैस्वच्छन्दजन्मभि चक्रे करोति कर्ता वा हरिस्तानि ब्रुवन्तु नः.
King Nimi said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends into the material world by His internal potency and according to His own desire. Therefore, please tell us about the various pastimes Lord Hari has performed in the past, is performing now, and will perform in this world in the future in his various incarnation.
So if you remember in the last chapter, third chapter, 48th verse, Nimi has heard that Murtya Abhimataya Atmanah. Murtya Abhimataya Atmanah means one should worship a particular form of the Lord which is most attractive to oneself. Right? He should identify which form of the Lord is very attractive, which is attracting himself, that he is attracted to a certain form. So one should identify and then worship that form. So the question now is, what are the various forms of the Lord? So that I can choose, you know, my favorite one, right? So show me what are different colors of dresses that are available in your cloth showroom, so that I can pick up my favorite color, my favorite pattern, texture, all that, like that. Now, if you see 53rd verse of the third chapter, it is said, Stavaihi stutva named Harim. So one should bow down before Lord Hari after glorifying him with prayers. So he also, Nimi also heard that one should offer obeisances to the Lord and offer prayers. So what are the qualities and activities of the Lord which I have to praise in my prayers? That is the question. So basically, after hearing, from the Navayogendras in the third chapter, he is getting these questions. I want to know about various forms of the Lord, their activities and their attributes and qualities, so that I can worship one favorite form of mine and glorify him with selective prayers. Right? So to worship, I want to know what are the forms, various forms. And to pray, I want to know what are their activities. So he's asking for the qualities and activities and forms of the Lord. That is this question, the seventh question. So qualities and pastimes of the Lord and forms of the Lord. He says, Yani Yani Ha Karmani Yeryehi Swachanda Janmabhi. Yani Yani Ha Karmani. So Yani Yani Ha. What, where else do we hear this? Okay, where else? Where? Okay, where is? Huh? What is that? Damodar Lila, how does it begin? Yashoda Mai is recollecting all these pastimes of Krishna. Yani Yani Hagitani, Tadbala Jaritanicha. Right? So she is composing activities, composing songs and various activities of Krishna, childhood pastimes of Krishna. So here, Yani Yani Ha Karmani, I want to know different activities of the Supreme Lord, which He has done in this Iha, in this world. Swachanda, Yair Yehi Swachanda Janmabhi, He has appeared out of His own will, Swachanda. He is not forced to appear in this world, just like in any ordinary conditioned soul. Chakre Karoti Kartava Haristani Bruvantunaha. So please speak all of them, whatever activities He has performed, and how he appeared in various forms. That is the question. Even in the eighth canto also, Parikshit Maharaj was very inquisitive to know about the Lord's appearances and activities in various manvantaras, manvantaras of the past, present and future. Here also, Nimi is asking, I want to know about the various incarnations of the Lord in past, present and future. That is the inquisitiveness of a devotee. So one may have a very specific attraction to a specific form of the Lord, but he should never disrespect other forms. That is important. It's not wrong to be more inclined or more attracted towards one specific form. Hanumanji is there. If you read the fifth canto, the prayers of residents of Jambudvipa. This is which Varsha? Kimpurusha Varsha. Where Hanumanji is praying to Lord Ram. There Chakravarti Pad writes, Hanumanji offers prayers to Lord Ram only. He doesn't offer prayers to other forms of the Lord also. Although he doesn't have disrespect towards other forms, still he doesn't even bother to offer prayers or offer obeisances to other forms also. He is like totally dedicated and focused on Lord Ram. Like that. So one can have one's favorite form, but one should not disrespect other forms. That is important. So, since the Lord's avatars, Chakravarti Pad writes, since the Lord's avatars, qualities and pastimes are beyond counting, I will recount them to the best of my ability. One who desires to count successively the unlimited qualities of the Lord is foolish. Oh, that will come in the next verse. Right? So now little more explanation on this Abhimata Murti, one's most desirable form. So the disciples of Srila Prabhupada very nicely elaborate that Abhimata Murti means one should have a desirable form. Abhimata means desire, right? Abhimata Murti means desirable form, one's most desirable form. But this desirable form is not a concocted form. Okay, I make my own form. Right? Narsingadev has his, lion head and then like a human body, right? Manly body and then lion head. So let me imagine some other form. Let me have lion hand and horse say left hand, lion's right hand, and another animal's left leg and another animal's right leg and eye of a horse. Like, it's not a concocted form, right? Even when I was studying in college also, one of my friends was there. So he would say, you can imagine any form and then meditate on him, right? If Hanumanji or Durga or Buddha or Krishna or Ram, that doesn't matter, right? You can do anything, but just do this yoga, asana and all. So he was following someone. He was practically saying like this. Then I was beginning to read Prabhupada's books in those days, right? So even that somehow didn't make sense to me. So they were so so much entrapped that they gave up their logic completely. Full surrender. Imagine any form and meditate on that form. How can this happen? So such people are there. So here they are completely discouraging the concoction of forms. Forms means there are many bona fide forms. Advaita, Machyuta, Manadi, Mananta, Rupam, Adhyam, Purana, Purusham, Navayavanam cha. So, Ramadi, Murti, Sukala, Niyamena, Tishthan, Nanavatara, Makarod, Bhavaneshu, Kintu. There are unlimited forms of Krishna. Right? Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests himself in unlimited forms. How many ripples are there in an ocean surface? Those many forms Lord has. So you pick up any of those bona fide forms that Lord has manifested, which are already unlimited, then meditate on them. You need not concoct one more. There are unlimited ripples. You need not concoct unlimited plus one first ripple, whatever. You need not concoct one more. So it's all there, already sufficient bona fide forms. So one of them, among those eternal forms of the Lord, one should select that form which is most inspiring one's love for Supreme Lord. Oh, this form inspires me more. Right? There are, say, 18,000 verses in Bhagavatam. You may have, it's not wrong to have your favorite verses. You may like 50 of them or 100 of them. We have selected only 200 for memorization from this second half of the Bhagavatam for your sloka book. Right? So all are potent, all are important, but we have selected some most vital once and then we are memorizing them. Each and every syllable of Bhagavatam is potent, that we agree. But we have some vital verses for memorization. Similarly, each and every form is potent, but whatever inspires one's love and devotion towards the Lord, that much, that form we can select and worship. That is not discouraged. So such love cannot be imitated, but it is automatically aroused when one follows the prescribed rules and regulations given by bona fide spiritual master and submissively hears Srimad Bhagavatam. This here, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is emphasized in this one statement. This is towards the end, last few lines of the purport. So that such love cannot be imitated means you cannot directly become a Raganuga Bhakta or Ragatmika Bhakta. If one imagines oneself as a Raganuga or Ragatmika, he is a Sahajiya. Right? First he has to follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. How? Then that Raga or whatever, that Bhava is automatically aroused when one follows prescribed rules and regulations, means Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, given by spiritual master and submissively hears Srimad Bhagavatam, means follow the scriptures and follow Guru's instructions, that is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then your Bhava will develop. So this last sentence is more or less a rendering of the definition of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Is it not? Like that. Now, Drumila begins to answer this question. Since the Lord's avatars, qualities, Hare Krishna. Some of them were complaining that I didn't speak to them for a long time. So although you are around, I had to schedule myself.
I'm always coming as a student of
That should be the mode. May I develop that mode? I'm embarrassed to speak in front of Prabhuji, but because of some people's request, I had to do it. So such love cannot be imitated. Now, since the Lord's avatars, qualities and pastimes are beyond counting, I will recount them to the best of my ability. One who desires to count successively his unlimited qualities is a foolish person. So with that intention, he speaks the second verse. He speaks the first verse in his answer. Drumila says, Sri Drumila Uvacha, Yova Anantasya Gunan Anantan, Anukramishyan Satubala Buddhi, Rajamsi Bhumer Ganayet Kathanchit, Kalena Naiva Akhila Shakti Dhamna.
Drumila said, anyone trying to enumerate or describe fully the unlimited qualities of the unlimited Supreme Lord has the intelligence of a foolish child. Even if a great genius could somehow or other, after a time-consuming endeavor, count all the particles of the dust on the surface of the earth, such a genius could never count the attractive qualities of the personality of Godhead, who is the reservoir of all potencies.
Sri Drumila Uvacha. So, Yova Anantasya Gunan Anantan. This is a very beautiful verse, worth memorizing again. Yova Anantasya Gunan Anantan. The Lord is unlimited. He is Ananta. His Gunan Anantan. His Gunas are also Ananta. Because the Lord is unlimited, His qualities are unlimited. Anukramishyan Satu Bala Buddhihi. Anukramishyan, if one tries to enumerate those qualities or forms of the Lord, he is Bala Buddhi. His intelligence is like a childish fellow's intelligence. Foolish child's, how his intelligence is not very mature. It's very flickering, right? A person who wants to enumerate Lord's qualities is compared to a person who is having childish intelligence, foolish intelligence. And they give an example, beautiful example. Rajamsi Bhumer Ganayet Kathanchit. So on the Bhumi on earth, Rajamsi, there are dust particles. Can you count them? Rajamsi Bhuver Ganayet Kathanchit. No one can count them. But whatever, with his advanced technology or genius, someone, some person may be able to count them also. but he cannot count the qualities of the Lord. Means qualities of the Lord are more than the qualities of the dust particles on the planet Earth. Right? They are unlimited. They are also unlimited. Dust particles are unlimited. Lord's qualities are unlimited. But this unlimited is more than that unlimited. This is infinite. That is more than infinite. Getting right? Our Radhika Vallabhprabhu gives a beautiful example. The natural number set is unlimited. The even number set is unlimited. Odd number set is unlimited. Whole number set is unlimited. But even number set is smaller than natural numbers, is it not? It may be unlimited, but that unlimited is multiplied by 2 to get natural numbers. Right? Similarly, Lord's qualities are unlimited multiplied by unlimited, unlimited times. Right? You can give examples of many unlimiteds, but Lord is beyond all those unlimiteds. Right? Rajamsi bhumir ganayet kathanchit kalena naivakhila shakti dhamnaha. So, in time one may be able to count the number of dust particles, but one will never be able to enumerate the qualities of Supreme Lord. Why? Because akhila shakti dhamnaha. He is the reservoir of all potencies. Akhila shakti dhamnaha. Where else do we hear this? Damodar Leela. Okay, something like that. Some words are sounding like this. Yontah pravishya mamavajam imam prasuptam sanjeevayati akhila shakti dhara swadham nam akhila shakti dhara swadham nam. Okay, akhila shakti dham nam. Something similar is happening here. This is the reservoir of all potencies. So, even Anantadeva, Nantam vidamyahamami munayograjaste maya balasya purushasya kutovaraye gayan gunan dashashatanana adideva seshodhinapi navavasyati nasyaparam. So, gayan gunan dashashatanana adideva. Lord Ananta, with his unlimited mouth, since time immemorial, he started enumerating the qualities of the Supreme Lord. But till now he didn't reach an end, and he will never reach an end for the rest of eternity also. If Ananta cannot do that with his unlimited potency and unlimited mouths, how can any ordinary immortal can do it? That is the question. Right? Even in 10th canto, 14th chapter, Brahmaji says, right, one may be able to count the atoms on earth, particles of snow, or molecules emanating from sun, or he can count stars and other luminaries, but no one can possibly count the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord. That is the extent to which Lord's qualities are there, are existing. Right? Now, one may question. Yes, Prabhu. 10:14:7. 10:7, 7th verse. Then, how come the Lord has unlimited qualities? This is another question. How can one person have so many qualities? Because there are unlimited souls. To reciprocate with each and every soul in a unique way, Lord will manifest unlimited qualities. There are unlimited devotees and there are unlimited non-devotees also. Lord has to reciprocate with each of them uniquely. Right? So Lord can manifest unlimited qualities. To attract each of them and to uniquely reciprocate with each of them, in as many forms they can appreciate, whatever form they can appreciate, Lord manifests unlimited qualities. Yadyadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattattvapuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. What does it mean? Yadyadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti. Devotee may want to worship the Lord and serve the Lord in certain form, one of his favorite forms. Lord wants to reciprocate with that devotee in that form only. Right? That is the... And even within one form also, different devotees will see him in different facets. Mallanam, Ashanirranam, Naravaram, Strinam, Smaro, Murtiman. Just one 10 and a half year old boy entered the wrestling arena. He churned different 10 different kinds of emotions in 10 different categories of people in the wrestling arena. One form can churn so many emotions. Right? And that, like that, there are unlimited forms also. So that is the extent to which Lord is great. And you just go to a restaurant, there are 1,000 items in the menu card. Why 1,000 items? Pet Barnagali, just 2-3 items are sufficient. Right? Why there are 1,000 items in his menu card, the big restaurant? There are unlimited desires and unlimited tastes for the people, of the people who enter the restaurant. If it happens with a small restaurant, what to speak of? The reservoir of all potencies, Supreme Lord, Akhila Shakti Dhamna. He has unlimited souls to reciprocate with. He manifests. If one tries to minimize those qualities or tries to enumerate those qualities, I can count them, I can finish. That is Balabuddhi. However, such Balabuddhi, people who have that childish intelligence or foolish intelligence that we can enumerate Supreme Lord's qualities, such people are much better than atheistic scientists who deny the existence of God only, who completely disconnect God with everything that they see. At least these people, although they have some arrogance, they are identifying that there is Lord and he has some qualities. They are trying to count them, although it's beyond their capacity. But these people, they deny the existence of God only. They are more arrogant. Foolish atheistic scientists attempt to describe all knowledge without even referring to the personality of Godhead, or having reached the most preliminary knowledge of Lord. They are short-sighted. They have weak intelligence. Despite their showy material achievements, which ultimately end in great suffering and destruction. So that is the thing of atheistic scientists. And if that is the case, if one cannot reach the end of Lord's qualities, or one cannot enumerate them like beyond the intelligence of anyone, what is the point of hearing? Why should one hear about Lord? Right? And you cannot comprehend him anyway completely. What is the point hearing? Many times it is recommended that one has to submissively hear the knowledge of God as spoken by Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Then he will be able to gradually elevate himself to the stage of hearing Bhagavatam. You read Bhagavad Gita, you read Bhagavatam, you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, all this is mentioned. But what is the funda there? It is very nicely this purport answers. Mahaprabhu gives an analogy. By tasting a drop of sea water, you can understand the general idea of the flavor of entire ocean. Is it not? Take one glass of water from the sea. Oh, this sea is salty. Take one glass of water from river Vaitarani. It has certain taste. Then you can understand the taste of entire river water. You need not drink entire water. You need not drink full ocean or river. But you will get a taste. Similarly, by submissively hearing about Krishna, one can acquire a qualitative understanding of the absolute truth. Although quantitative understanding, one can never get completely. Quantitatively, one's knowledge can never be complete. But qualitatively, you can understand what is the nature of absolute truth by regularly hearing Harikatha. So to understand the quality, it's very important to hear. Third verse. Drumila is continuing. Bhutairyada panchabhiratma srishtaihi Puram virajam virachaya tasmin Swamsena vishta purushabhidhanam Avapanarayana adi devaha.
When the primeval Lord Narayan created his universal body out of the five elements produced from himself, and then entered within that universal body by his own plenary portion, he thus became known as the Purusha.
So Bhutair Yada Panchabhiratma Srishtaihi. So Bhutair Yada Panchabhi. There are Panchamahabhuta. There are five, not the five subjis that yesterday we discussed in Ishtagoshti. These are earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are the five elements. Atma Srishtaihi. Lord created it by himself. He doesn't borrow the ingredients or order from some company. I want this much earth, this much water, this much air to create this one universe. So he has created Atma Srishtaihi. Puram Virajam Virachaya Tasmin Swamshena Vishtaha. Now he created these material elements, this material universe, and Swamshena, by his own expansion, he entered that. So this verse is speaking about the Purusha Avataras. Mahavishnu, he creates the universe, and he enters that universe as Garbhodagasaya Vishnu. So this verse is about Purusha Avataras. So what was the question of Nimi? I want to know about various forms of the Lord and activities of the Lord, so that I can pray to him nicely, so that I can choose my favorite form and worship him nicely. Right? So he said it's difficult to enumerate all the qualities and activities and incarnations of the Lord, but I will tell some. Right? He begins with Purusha Avataras. So Purusha Avataras are Garbhodakasaya Vishnu and Karanodakasaya Vishnu in these two verses. In this verse, these two incarnations are mentioned. So when Bhagavan accepts the form of Purusha, that is Mahavishnu, as the creator of Mahatattva, then producing the universe by the elements, he enters into it with his expansion. That is Garbhodakasaya Vishnu. Now the purport very nicely analyzes the purpose of this material world and compares Lord's entrance into this material world with Jiva's entrance into this material world. Beautiful purport. So now when Jiva is in material world, Lord enters these five gross elements. As this verse describes, Lord created these five elements, earth, water, fire, ether, and he enters there. Similarly, Jiva also enters. This is a body which is made of five elements, earth, water, fire, ether. He enters, the soul enters there. But soul entrance and Lord's entrance has some difference. When conditioned soul enters these five gross elements, which are the basic building blocks of the material world, consciousness becomes manifest. And along with that, functions of mind and intelligence will become manifest. Unfortunately, that consciousness which is manifest under the modes governed by ahankara, the three modes, sattva, rajas, tama, these are all governed by ahankara, false ego. So then living entity wrongly considers himself the enjoyer of these material elements. So soul entered, along with consciousness got manifested, but this consciousness is infested with the pest of false ego. He thinks that this body, these five elements, this is meant for my enjoyment. Okay? Soul entered this body and thinks that this body is meant for, this is mine, or I am this body. Okay? This is meant for my enjoyment. He thinks like that. But this material world is meant for Lord's enjoyment. Yeah, it is correct that Lord is staying in the spiritual world, Goloka eva nevasatya khilatma bhuto. Then Lord is staying in the material world. He has pure transcendental existence in the spiritual sky. And the material elements are there, he created for the living entities, conditioned souls. Still, these material elements and this material universe is also meant for Lord's enjoyment only. And Lord enjoys it through the medium of sacrifice. Through the medium of sacrifice, Lord enjoys. Right? So we are doing sacrifice on 29th. 29th is Gopal Bhatt Goswami's disappearance day. We are doing Bhumi Pujan for Madan Mohan Temple. Right? So we need to do some sacrifices. So there are so many elements offered in the fire sacrifice. Right? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So through the medium of sacrifice, Lord enjoys this material elements also. Five elements. So material world is called Devi Dham, or the abode of illusory energy of the Lord. So Brahma Samhita says, Supreme Person is not at all attracted to his inferior energy, Maya. Okay, that is there. He is not attracted to this material energy, inferior energy. But when this material creation is used for devotional service of the Lord, Lord is attracted to it. Just now Maharaj was also saying, Radhanand Maharaj was also saying, that Krishna doesn't accept the thing, but he accepts the love behind it. Means material world is like inferior energy, what Lord has to do with it, this earth, water, fire, ether. But when that is utilized for devotional service, Krishna is attracted to it, he enjoys it. He enjoys the material flowers that we offer, everything. So, because Lord enjoys this material elements also through the medium of sacrifice, or when a pure devotee offers them with love, this creation pastimes, the creation of material world, these pastimes are also very spiritual. they are no less than the Leela avataras. Purushavataras are no less than the Leela avataras. Right? The pastimes of Purushavataras are as potent as the pastimes of Leela avataras. From tattva point of view, both are same. But from rasa point of view, Leela avataras have more rasa than Purushavataras. Purushavataras more tattva. They're all tattvas, sankhya. There are different elements are called tattvas. If you see teachings of Lord Kapila, Devahuti asks, I want to know about this sankhya, the enumeration of various tattvas, their elements. So this is, in Srishti Leela, that is technical. Leela avataras are not very technical. You find them more relishable. But as far as potency is concerned, both are equally potent. Well, Lord Narayana, were Lord Narayana in any way to diminish his transcendental bliss and knowledge in his activities of material creation, he would have to be considered a conditioned soul. Very important statement. If someone minimizes the activities of Purushavatara in comparison to Leelavataras, then he's doing an offense. Oh, Purushavatara activities are less relishable. They give less enjoyment to the Lord in comparison to his Leelavataras. It is not the case. How can the Lord enjoy less through any of his activities? Right? So his transcendental bliss and knowledge will never diminish. Will never diminish whether he is doing the creation of this material world or doing other pastimes. If there is a diminution in his transcendental bliss and knowledge, then he is as good as conditioned soul. In this material body, our full happiness is not manifest. When we are in spiritual bodies, we are more happy. But it's not the case with Supreme Lord. When he enters this material world also, he is Sachidananda. He is completely in knowledge and bliss. Right? So since Lord Narayana is eternally aloof from the influence of Maya, his activities as super soul of this universe exactly are on the same transcendental level as his activities in the spiritual world. Because he is never influenced by Maya. Happiness, whether it is material or spiritual, that is determined whether one is infected by modes or not. Lord is never infected by modes. His happiness is also always spiritual, like that. We'll continue. Fourth verse. Yatkaya esha bhavanatraya sannivesho. Yasyendriya istanubhritam ubhayendriyani. Jnanam svatasvashanato balamoja iha. Sattvadi vistitilayod bhava adikarta.
Within his body are elaborately arranged the three planetary systems of this universe. His transcendental senses generate the knowledge acquiring and active senses of all embodied beings. His consciousness generates conditioned knowledge, and his powerful breathing produces the bodily strength, sensory power and conditioned activities of the embodied souls. He is the prime mover through the agency of the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. And thus the universe is created, maintained and annihilated.
This is also speaking about Purushavataras. According to the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, this verse is speaking about Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. According to Chakravarti Pad, this verse is speaking about Mahavishnu. But both make sense, depending on how you understand the Sanskrit, how you translate that Sanskrit. Yat kaya esha bhavanatraya sannivesho. So sannivesha means the elaborate arrangement. Yat kaya, Lord's body. This Lord's body, just initially we'll consider this Yat kaya is referring to Lord Mahavishnu's body, Karanodaka Sai Vishnu's body. So Lord Mahavishnu's body, bhavanatraya sannivesho, in each of his pores, an assembly of millions of universes are there, and in each of those universes, there is bhavanatraya, upper, middle and lower planetary systems. There is arrangement. Yatkaya esha bhavanatraya sannivesho. Lord's body is the abode of millions of universes, and each of those universes is having three planetary systems. Right? Now, if you consider him Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, his body also has three planetary systems, right? How you map yat, that yat is referring to whom? That that could refer to both. Yasyendriyaistanubhritam ubhayendriyani. Yasya indriya. His senses are tanubhritam ubhayendriyani. Tanubhritam means the embodied living beings. Ubhayendriyani. Ubhayendriyani means two types of senses. He has knowledge senses, he has working senses. Jnanendriyas and karmendriyas. These are ubhayendriyas. So Lord's transcendental senses are the source of our senses, our ten senses. That's what he said in the second line. Jnanam svataha svasanato balamoja iha. So, and Lord is also the source of one's knowledge, jnanam svataha. So it's directed from him. Then svasanataha balam oja iha. So svasanata means from his breathing. So from Lord's consciousness, our intelligence will come. Then from his powerful breathing, our balam, bodily strength, ojaha, sensory power, and other activities also will come. Right? Balam oja iha. Sattvadibhi sthiti layodaya adikarta. Sattvadibhi. Sattvadi means sattva adi. Sattva, raja, tama. When you say sattvadi, it's like the modes headed by sattva. So he is executing sthiti laya udbhava. Creation, maintenance and destruction through the mediums of sattva, raja and tama. Sattvadibhi sthiti laya udbhava. Adikarta. Adikarta means the original doer. Karta means doer. Adikarta means the original doer. There are so many intermediate doers. Ultimate doer is Krishna. Ultimate doer is, in this material world context, the Purushavataras. Mahavishnu or Garbhodaksha Vishnu. That is the verse. It could refer to Mahavishnu or Garbhodaksha Vishnu, one of them. Yatkaya, within whose body. So he is the prime mover. We have animal-driven prime mover. So prime mover means, he is the one who instigates things. Because of him, things are moving. He is a mover. He is the prime mover. There are so many movers, but he is the prime mover through the agency of modes. And thus the universe is maintained, created and annihilated. Right? So that means what? This verse is describing the living entity's dependence on the Lord. Living entity's senses have their source in Lord, Lord's senses. Living entity's knowledge has their source in Lord's consciousness. Living entity's bodily strength and sensory power and activities have their source in Lord's breathing. If Mahavishnu just holds his breath, he's doing anulom vilom, something like that, he holds his breath, no more creation. Right? He continuously breathes, then we will continuously act. Right? He breathes in, then gone. Like that. So living entity is completely dependent, is dependent on the Lord. In exhaustion or disease or death or fear, conditioned soul loses all power to manifest practical knowledge or activities. Right? Independent of Lord's mercy, he cannot work, he cannot cultivate knowledge, he cannot do anything. Okay? Lord is there in each and every movement of every living entity. Like that. So by Lord's mercy only, he is acquiring a material body also. Because he is the source of all elements. Right? So, but he engages in ignorant materialistic activities of society, friendship and love. And the entire program suddenly vanishes with the unforeseen dissolution of the material body. Our material knowledge is always subject to become null and void within an instant. Since the material nature is itself constantly changing. So material nature is changing. Material knowledge also will change. One can never be proud of one's high developed knowledge or whatever. So conditioned soul should reason. If the Lord is giving me so much facility to merge into ignorance, see, Lord has to create, because the conditioned soul has the tendency to enjoy, separate from the Lord, Lord has to create this material world with five elements. Then false ego to govern this whole material creation, and he has to employ Brahma to further manifest the details of creation. And in Brahma's creation, he first has to create five kinds of nisayans. What is that? Sasarja angrendha tamishram atha tamishram adhikrit mahamoham cha moham cha tamas cha ajnanavrtayah. These five ajnanavrtis he has to create. So how much network Lord has to work so hard? Of course he does it easily, But he has created such an elaborate arrangement so that the conditioned soul can absorb in Maya according to his desire. It's not Lord's desire also. He can absorb in Maya. He's facilitating for the conditioned soul's absorbing or merging into ignorance. But if the soul has an inclination to serve Krishna, how much more he will facilitate? That's what we need to identify. Surely he will give even more facility to come out of this ignorance if I humbly follow his direction without foolish speculations. How much more he will facilitate? That is the point. So Garbhodak Sai Vishnu expands a super soul in every living entity's heart. And one can find him in the heart even in Kali Yuga by chanting Hare Krishna. Like that. And the personal loving relationship is existing between every living entity, tiny living entity, and the unlimited Supreme Lord, and that can be understood only through Bhakti Yoga. So, like that, Lord can create a facility so that the re-establishment of the eternal relationship between the soul and super soul can happen. Like that. So, this fourth verse describes the Supreme Lord as Adikarta. Adikarta means the original doer. The person who is responsible for the creation, maintenance and destruction. Right? Sattvadibhi sthiti laya udbhava adikarta. He is the adikarta of sthiti laya and udbhava through the medium of sattva, raja and tama. Right? So, adikarta implies subsequent creators, maintainers and annihilators. So, what is coming up next in the fifth verse is a description that Absolute Truth expands himself into gunavataras, or the incarnations who carry out this creation, maintenance and destruction. He began with Purushavataras, right? And he said this Purushavatara is the adikarta of creation, maintenance and destruction. He is the ultimate doer. But who are the intermediate doers? Who are the next set of doers? They are Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. They are gunavataras, right? So that is coming up in fifth verse. That is the link. Fifth verse. Adava bhuchyata dhriti rajasa yasarge Vishnu sthitau kratupatir dvijadharma setuh rudropyaya tamasa purushasa adya ityudbhavastitilaya hasatatam prajasu.
In the beginning, the original Supreme Personality manifested the form of Brahma through the material mode of passion in order to create this universe. The Lord manifested his form as Vishnu, the Lord of sacrifice and protector of twice born Brahmanas and their religious duties to maintain the universe. And when the universe is to be annihilated, the same Supreme Lord employs the material mode of ignorance and manifests the form of Rudra. The created living beings are thus always subject to the forces of creation, maintenance and destruction.
So, this verse is speaking about the Gunavataras. So, Adav Abhut. So, in the beginning, he became Satadhritihi, means Lord Brahma. Satadhritihi, that means Lord Brahma. Rajasaya Sarge. So, for the purpose of creation, through the material mode of passion, Lord manifested himself as Brahma. So, whenever Brahma is glorified as the Supreme Lord, where he is glorified as Supreme Lord? We have read 11 cantos of Bhagavatam, at least 10 cantos. Where was Brahma glorified as a Supreme Lord? Hiranyakashipu section, and where else? Hiranyakashipu is like demon is glorifying. Narada Muni's misconception, okay. Next. Somewhere it's very prominent. Demigods?
They are glorifying Brahma as a Supreme.
Where? Third canto, after pregnancy of Diti. Right, there is a lot of darkness. They approach Brahmaji. You are this, you are that. He said that. Then where is Shiva glorified as Supreme Lord? And where else? Samudra Manthan. Right? Because Shiva and Brahma, they are Vishnu's only. Vishnu manifested. This verse clearly says, in the beginning, the original Supreme Personality of God had manifested the form of Brahma through the mode of passion. Then the Lord manifested his form as Vishnu. He doesn't say through the mode of goodness. Because Lord Vishnu is not in goodness, or he is not even in charge of goodness. He is in Vishuddha Sattva. He is not even in charge of material mode of goodness. He is beyond all material modes. Vishnu. Okay. So, Kratupatihi. So, Vishnu Sthitav Kratupatihi. So, here Vishnu is described as Kratupati, the Lord of Sacrifice. And this also has reference to one of his previous incarnations as Suyagya. So, Prajapati Ruchi has a son named Yagya or Suyagya. Where do we discuss his pastimes? Third kind of where? Fourth kind of, correct. Svayambhu Manvantarame, he is the incarnation. Right? Ruchi's son is Yagya. What are the six elements of Svayambhu Manvantara? Right? There are six elements. Out of them, Manvantara Avatara is Yagya. Right? That is this. So he is Kratupati. Then Vishnu is beyond the material mode of goodness that we discussed. Because this verse is describing that Brahmaji is manifested through mode of passion and Shiva is manifested through mode of ignorance, but it never says that Vishnu is manifested through mode of goodness. Because Vishnu is beyond mode of goodness also. Beyond the material mode of goodness. He is Vishuddha Sattva. Right? So, Vishnu does maintenance not through material mode of goodness. So, although Shiva and Brahma are somewhat affected by their prescribed duties as superintendents of modes of passion and ignorance, Vishnu is never affected by his overseeing the mode of goodness, because he is beyond mode of goodness also, right? And Vishnu has no occupational duty. So, Brahma has occupational duty. What is that? Creation. Shiva has occupational duty. What is that? Destruction. But Vishnu's protection is not occupational duty, that is his leela. Right? That is his leela. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, that is the description of Vishnu. He has nothing else, nothing, no material activity to do, no occupational duty to do. Then, but this verse says, Vishnu sthitav kratupatir dvija dharma setu. He is dvija dharma setu, he is the protector of dvija, brahmanas and dharma, religious principles. Is it not his occupational duty? No, it is not his occupational duty. That is his leela. That is his pastime. As a pastime, he protects dharma and he protects dvija. Right? His dvija dharma setu is not his occupational duty. It's not duty, it is love. They have these four platforms, right? Yesterday Nimayala Prabhu was discussing. So, he is on platform of love. On his own accord, as a leela, he does it. That means, Vishnu is not just Gunavatara. He is a Leelavatara also. While Brahma and Shiva remain Gunavataras, Vishnu is not just Gunavatara, he is Leelavatara also. That's what we have to learn here. So, Vishnu is self-manifested. So, Brahma has a birth. As a Gunavatara, Brahma is born of lotus manifested from Vishnu. As a Gunavatara, Shiva is born of the angry eyes of Brahma. But Vishnu is self-manifested. Okay, he is not born as a Gunavatara. Like that, born from anyone. He is manifesting himself, and he is manifesting the entire universe through the medium of his internal energy. This is confirmed in the 8th chapter of 3rd canto also. And Vishnu is the supreme. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So the disciples of Prabhupada very nicely translate this verse and write in the purport. It's a full translation. Last paragraph is a translation of Ishvara Parama Krishna only. That verse. So, although he is Ishvara Parama Krishna, he is the supreme, who is Govinda, he is beginningless, he is the beginning of everything, he is the cause of all causes, etc. Still, he manifests himself as Brahma and Shiva in the sense that these primeval controllers of Brahma and Shiva manifest the potency and the supreme will of the Lord, although they themselves are not supreme. When they are glorified as supreme, you need to understand that they are manifesting the will of the Lord. They are manifesting the potency of the Lord. So they are as good as the Lord. But they are not. They are not God. They are not Supreme Lord. When you say, when you go out to some other place as a representative of GEV, you are not GEV, right? You are representing GEV, right? GEV authorities are president or whatever, right? You are representative there. So in that sense, whatever glorification one has to give to GEV or the place or temple or whatever, they may give it to you. You may accept it also, but you understand that you are a representative only. So when Brahma and Shiva are being glorified as supreme, they accept that glorification only as representatives of Vishnu, not as Supreme Lord. Like that. Sixth verse. Dharmasya daksha duhi, dharmasya daksha duhitar yajanishta murtyam. Narayano nararishi pravarah prashantah. Naishkarmya lakshanam uvachachara karma. Yodhyapi chastarishi varjanishevitanghrihi.
Nar Narayan Rishi, who is perfectly peaceful and is the best of sages, was born as the son of Dharma and his wife Murti, the daughter of Daksha. Nar Narayan Rishi taught the devotional service of the Lord by which material work ceases, and he himself perfectly practiced this knowledge. He is living even today, his lotus feet served by the greatest of saintly persons.
So he described Purushavataras, then he described Gunavataras. Now he begins with the Leela Avataras. One of them is Naranayan Rishi. He begins with that. Dharmasya daksha duhitar ajanishta murtyam. So Dharma, there is a personality called Dharma. Where did we hear about him? Sixth canto. And where else? Sixth canto we heard about Dharma. Not Dharmaraj, Yamadharmaraj, nahi. Fourth canto. And he married 13 daughters of Daksha. Dharmasya daksha duhitari. Daksha duhitari is daughter of Daksha. Who is that? Murti. So Daksha's daughter Murti was married to Dharma, and their progeny is Naranarayan Rishis. Right? Dharmasya daksha duhitari ajanishta murtyam. Narayano, Nara. These are Naranarayan Rishis. Rishi pravaraha. They are best of the sages. Prashantaha, they are always peaceful. They are never agitated. Naishkarmya lakshanam, and what they do is, they taught Naishkarmya lakshanam uvacha. Uvacha means they spoke, or they taught. Naishkarmya lakshanam means the characteristics of Naishkarmya, means activity that is devoid of fruitive nature. Basically, that is devotional service. They taught devotional service. In our simple understanding of Krishna consciousness as given by Prabhupada, Naishkarmya means devotional service. We have elaborate purports in our previous cantos where Prabhupada Naishkarmya means devotional service. Simple. So devotional service by which material work ceases, like that. So uvacha, chachara. Not just they did uvacha, they did chachara also, means achara also. Achara, prachara, both they did. Okay, they performed devotional service themselves, they performed Naishkarmya themselves, and they spoke about Naishkarmya also. So, chachara, karma yodhyapi chasta rishivarya nishevitangrihi. So, they are living even today. And rishivarya nishevitangrihi, their lotus feet are served by great rishis, rishivarya. And they are rishi pravaraha. Naranayan Rishi are described here as rishi pravaraha, best of all sages. And there are other best sages also, they are rishivarya. They are rishivarya are serving the lotus feet of rishi pravaraha. They accept the service of other rishis. So the purport elaborates on Naishkarmya, cessation of material work by devotional service. Because Naranarayan Rishi spoke this to so many sages, including Narada Muni. And Narada Muni also spoke. Where did he speak about Naishkarmya? Devashish Prabhu. Naishkarmya apyachyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate jnanavalam niranjanam. Where did he speak this? First canto, fifth chapter, or fourth. Okay, one of them. I also forgot. But he spoke to Vyasadeva in that chapter only. So, yeah, Atma Swarupa, the very beautiful thing. Atma Swarupa means one's own eternal form of living entity. That is devotional service. Naishkarmya is the Atma Swarupa of living entity. doing devotional service devoid of any material tinges, material activity, is Atmaswarupa, the eternal form of living entity. But our perception of our eternal form is covered by a material concept of life. Just like our normal understanding of our own self is covered in a dream. When you sleep in the night, when you dream, you see yourself somewhere else. But our awareness, our knowledge of our existence as Jagannath Yatra, Prabhu or whatever, that is covered. Right? You forgot in that dream. Similarly, now being aware, right? We are awake, in an awake state. So we identify ourselves as this body or some with some designation. So our Atma Swarupa, eternal servants of Krishna, that is covered. So we are just a bunch of guys. We are trying to revive that Atma Swarupa. Right? Trying to revive our remembrance of being the eternal servants of Krishna through the medium of hearing. Smritim puna vismrita tattva vartmanam kuyogi nam no vitaratyalam varahe. Where does this come? Pruthu Maharaj. I am asking so many questions because I met you after a long time. So, do you still remember all those? So, the process of transforming ordinary karma into naishkarmya is explained by Prabhupada in the purport of naishkarmya pruthita bhavarjitam. That is 1.5.12. I am right. It's there in 5th chapter. So, fruity work is always painful, either in the beginning or in the end. It can be fruitful only when it is made subservient to devotional service. Fruitive work is fruitful only when you offer it to Krishna. Otherwise, fruitive work is not fruitful. Right? It's fruitless. Like that. So Prabhupada is very expert in using words also. It's called fruity work, but there is no fruit there. Why to work like that? Better work for Krishna, he says. Okay? Otherwise, it will be cause of bondage. Yajna arthat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Okay? 3.9, Bhagavad Gita. So the bona fide enjoyer of fruity work is Krishna. When our fruitive work is engaged in his service, we are doing something bona fide. Otherwise, we are doing something that causes bondage. Like that. So that is about Naranarayan Rishi introduction. Leelavataras will continue through for the rest of the chapter. It is the beginning. But Naranarayan Rishi's episode is like very elaborated here. In the next 10 verses, 7 to 17, 11 verses, Lord's opulence of renunciation is seen here. So you see, the general format of Bhagavatam is sometimes there is like too much of zooming in, sometimes there is a lot of summarization. Sometimes like several yugas are summarized in 2 verses. Sometimes just what the incident which happened for half an hour or 15 minutes is elaborated for 4 or 5 chapters. Right? In the first canto, if you see, Krishna is leaving Hastinapur and entering Dwaraka. 2 chapters are dedicated for it. Okay? Huh? 10 and 11, correct. 2 chapters are dedicated. On the other hand, you see, Krishna is leaving Dwaraka. Krishna is leaving Hastinapur. Krishna, how he left and what are the feelings of separation by different residents of Hastinapur, that is described so elaborately. That must have happened for half an hour or 1 hour, whatever. But Krishna's travel from Hastinapur to Dwaraka, that must have happened for several days or weeks or whatever. That is done in 2-3 verses. Then Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka, that must have happened for half an hour or whatever, 1 hour. That is described throughout the chapter, right? And here, Leelavataras are there. Naranarayan Rishi's Leelavatara, that is, his activity is described for 10 verses. And others, within 1 verse, you will find 4 or 5 Leelavataras, right? For the rest of the chapter, right? So, it's all dynamic. So, Naranarayan Rishi, here we didn't discuss this verse. Narayano nara nara rishi pravaraha prashantaha. Prashantaha means Narayana is very peaceful. Where else do we hear this? Narayana is prashanta. Where else do we hear about Naranarayan Rishi? He's saying something. There are Leela Avatars, okay. Where else? 1.3. Where else? Not as a list. Little more detail. Prayers. fifth canto prayers, Bharatavarsha prayers. There one verse comes, Kartasya Sarga, Kartasya Sargadishi Yona Badhyate, 5.19.12. I think I got that. Kartasya Sargadishi Yona Badhyate, Nahanyate Deha Gatopi Daihika. Drashturna Drigyasya Gunair Vidushate, Tasmai Namosakta Vivikta Sakshini. Okay? He sees, but he is just a witness. Unattached seer. Unaffected. Detached Asakta Vivikta Sakshini. Just can you see the translation? 519.12 I think. You see? Unattached, unbiased. Unattached pure witness. Unattached pure witness, right? Unattached pure witness of the Lord, right? He is asakta vivikta sakshini. He is prashanta. So, the affection means he is not affected by it. And is, when you see certain object, because we are affected by moods, some emotions start appearing in our thing. Okay, when you see a new gadget, or I should have it. Okay, and you see some prasad, I should have it. that kind of emotions may come, but he is unattached pure witness. He is not affected by all that. How is he unattached pure witness? We will see in the next 10 verses. 7th verse. Indro vishankya mamadham ajigrikshanati jigrikshatiti kamam nyayungta Saganam Sabadaryupakhyam Gatvapsaro Ganavasanta Sumandadate Stri Prekshane Subhir Avidhyad Atanma Hignaha.
King Indra became fearful, thinking that Nar Narayan Rishi would become very powerful by his severe penances and seize Indra's heavenly kingdom. Thus Indra, not knowing the transcendental glories of the incarnation of the Lord, sent Cupid and his associates to the Lord's residence in Badrika Ashram. As the charming breezes of spring created a most sensuous atmosphere, Cupid himself attacked the Lord with arrows in the form of irresistible glances and of beautiful women.
What is the arrow of Cupid? The glances of woman. That is the arrow of Cupid. There is no other arrow he has physical. He doesn't have so many astras. Only one astra, glance. Glance astra. Right? So Indro Vishankya. Vishankya means being fearful. Naham Vishankya Swararaja Vajran. You see, Vishankya means fearful. Indra became fearful. Why? And Narayan and Rishi, they are doing so many austerities, right? They will capture my position or what? That is insecurity. Indra is constantly in this insecurity. So what he does, he sends some apsara. Okay? Cupid, go with some apsaras and capture that fellow. That is his. Right? That's how many people got affected. But Narayan will never get affected. So, not knowing Naranayan's transcendental glories, he sent Kamam Nyayungta Saganam. Kamam means Cupid, Saganam, with his associates, Apsaras, beautiful women. Then, Gatva Apsaro, so many Apsaras, Apsaragana, Vasanta Sumandavataihi. When Kama goes along with Apsaras, the atmosphere also will become pleasant, right? Not just, he just goes with the woman only, there is not proper ambience there. Even if someone sees a sense gratifying object, if there is no proper ambience, lusty desires will not develop in him. So, kama is accompanied by What is this? Sumanda Vataihi. Very pleasing breezes, right? That will provoke one fellow, provoke somebody into, you know, sense gratification, desires. Stree Prekshana, on top of it, glances. Right? So Cupid, Apsaras, Sumanda Vataihi, plus their glances. Right? That's how he creates such a suggestive environment. But who is Naranarayana? Who is Krishna? Hasam Hare Ravanatakhila Loka Tivra Sokashra Sagara Visoshana Matyudaram Sammohanaya Rajitam Nijamaya Yasya Bhrumandale Munikrite Makaradhvajasya. Just by the glances of Krishna, just by focusing on the eyebrows of Krishna, sages will not be affected by the effect of Cupid. What to speak of the possessor of those glances? How can he be affected by Cupid? Just by Lord's mercy, Naranarayan's mercy, no sage will be affected by Cupid. And how can Naranarayan be affected by Cupid and the glances of woman? His glances will save us from Cupid, save us from woman. And how can he be affected by woman's glances? So, Atan Mahignaha, not understanding Lord's glories, Indra has done this mistake. So, Indra was placing Naranarayan Rishi on the same level as he himself. Right? He is attracted to Apsaras. That means Naranarayan also will get attracted to Apsaras. That's what he thought. Right? He was a henpecked husband in the hands of Sachi. Indra thinks that Krishna is a henpecked husband of Satyabhama. Satyabhama wanted Parijata flower and then he just took my tree. He's stealing. Right? He took earrings and chetri of Varundev from Krishna when he came along with Satyabhama. And he is thinking that Krishna has become a thief. He is a henpecked husband. It's like that. Atmavan manyate jagat. So Indra was placing himself on the level, Indra is placing Naranarayan Rishi also on the level of himself. Like that. He thinks that he is an ordinary enjoyer. He will be attracted by mundane sex life and he will give up austerities. And my position as Satakratu or the king of heaven will be secure. That was his plan. So, but Indra's plot to cause fall down of Naranarayan Rishi could not affect the Lord, but it only reveals the immaturity and short-sightedness of Indra. Like that. So, to de-glorify, I don't know what is the right version, to gallify or whatever, to defame someone, Indra just acquires a lot of defaming on himself. That's what Indra many times does. He wants to defame Prithu Maharaj, but he himself became infamous, like that. So an insecure person cannot trust anyone. So a sadhu is trusted by everyone, but an insecure person cannot trust a sadhu also. Because a sadhu does not want anything in this world. Someone who has left everything and just going in the forest and doing some austerities, how can he cause a threat to Indra, king of heaven? So that, two things should reveal there. The power of austerity, a simple austerity which is done in a seclusion with proper focus and all, it can cause insecurity in the king of heaven also, and it can give you heaven also. That is the power of austerity. That's one thing. Second thing is, someone who is in a very great exalted position like Indra as a king of heaven, he can feel insecure even by someone who is just doing some meager austerities, who left everything. He has nothing, no interest of anything in this world. He is just doing some austerities and he is causing insecurity. That's why being in the position of a wealthy man or king of heaven, it's not a very nice position also. There's always threat. Like that. So Naranarayan Rishi immediately understood Indra's foolishness. And Cupid understood that Naranarayan Rishi understood Indra's foolishness. Right? And Cupid became insecure. Now, Cupid became very fearful. Cupid and all the other heavenly women, they understood that we have offended Naranarayan Rishi. They were trembling in fear. Are Shab de dega. So he will curse us. Out of fear of some curse, they started trembling. But Naranarayan Rishi reassured them. Vignaya Shakra Kratuma Kramama Adideva Praha Prahasya Gata Vismaya Ejamanan मा भैर्विभो मदनमार्ज देववद्धो गृहिणीतनो बलिमशून्यमिमं कुरुध्वम्.
The Primeval Lord, understanding the offense committed by Indra, did not become proud. Instead, he spoke laughingly as follows to Cupid and his followers, who were trembling before him. Do not fear, O mighty Madan, O wind god, and wives of the demigods. Rather, please accept these gifts as I am offering you and kindly sanctify my ashram by your presence.
So his Primeval Lord, Adi Devaha. So he understood the offense of this Indra. Akramam. Akramam means offense. Indra did some akram. It's not krama, it's not in order. Okay, it's not in proper. So he did not become proud. Gata vismaya. He was able to control his senses. Right? And the question of sense control doesn't come only. His senses are always controlled. But he did not become proud. See, if one becomes proud by performing severe penances, such penances or austerities are considered material. Right? One cannot become proud of his austerities. So Narayan Rishi did not become proud. My senses are fully in my control. So he did not become proud in that way. And they did not become angry also. No pride, no anger also. Generally, if Indra sends some apsara to some sage, two things might happen. Number one, sage will be seduced by the woman, or number two, that woman or Indra will be cursed by the sage. Here both things did not happen. So Indra received more gifts only now. That is dealing with Narayan Rishi. So this Narayan sages, they were not proud, they were not angry also. Right? Other sages might become proud and become angry or become lusty. Some of these will affect them. But here Narayan Rishi, nothing has happened. So, on top of it, what Narayan Rishi said was to reassure them, to remove their fear. Oh, you have come to my ashram. Please take these gifts, take these fruits, take these vegetables. Okay. Then demigod said, Cupid and others, women said, we already have this. We have in heaven. We have vegetables. Then he said, no. You have come to my hermitage, my ashram. What is the purpose of my ashram if I cannot host such exalted demigods like you? Right? Purpose of an ashram is to serve the exalted guests who come to that ashram. So you should accept all these offerings. So he's reassuring them like that. So in this context, they all, disciples of Prabhupada, they give a lesson, nice lesson, that Vaishnavas who live in ISKCON ashrams should feel that buildings, ISKCON ashrams, devoid of guests, is not very exciting to have buildings or ashrams without guests. So if guests come, they should hear about Krishna, they should chant Krishna. Otherwise, they feel that the ashram is void, ashram is empty. Narayan Rishi says, my ashram is void if you don't accept my hospitality. Similarly, ISKCON residents of ISKCON ashrams also should feel that our ashram is void if you don't invite guests and make them hear Krishna Katha and chant them, make them chant the holy names of Krishna. They say like that. One may establish a beautiful ashram, not for one's personal sense gratification, but to execute Krishna consciousness peacefully and to encourage others to take to Krishna consciousness also. Like that. The ninth verse. Ittam bruvatya bhayade naradeva devah savreda marma sirasa sagrinam tamuchuh नैतद्विभोत्वयि परे विकृते विचित्रम् स्वारामधीरनकरान्त नरकान्तकपादपद्मे.
My dear King Nimi, when Narayan Rishi thus spoke, eradicating the fear of the demigods, they bowed their heads with shame and addressed the Lord as follows, to invoke his compassion. Our dear Lord, you are always transcendental, beyond the reach of illusion, and therefore you are forever changeless. Your causeless compassion toward us, despite our great offense, is not at all unusual to you, since innumerable great sages
who are self-satisfied and free from anger, false pride, bow down humbly at your lotus feet.
So they started offering prayers. Naitad vibho tvayi pare vikrite vichitram. Then svarama dhira, sva arama. Those who are self-satisfied, dhira, those who are sober-minded. Nikara, by great numbers, there are so many of them. Anata pada padme. They start bowing down unto your lotus feet. That's how the whole verse began also. Not verse, this whole section. Rishivarya nishevitangri, sixth verse, last line. Here they are repeating the same thing. Svarama dhira nikarantaka pada padme. Great exalted, sense-controlled sages. They serve the lotus feet of Naranarayan Rishi. How can they be agitated by some apsaras of this material heavens? Right? So they acknowledge that. This now we were discussing kartasya sargadishi yona badhyate. Then drashtirna drigyasya gunayar vidushyate. Drashtirna drigyasya gunayar vidushyate. When somebody sees an object, because he is influenced by moods, some kind of emotions will start appearing in his mind through the medium of his sight. If any other sage or any other personality sees such beautiful apsaras and Cupid is personally standing there to incite lusty feelings in him, so a person who is within the jurisdiction of material modes, he will be affected by the drishti. But Maranarayan Rishi is drashturna drigyasya gunair vidushyate. He sees everything, but he is not affected by that vision. That's why in that purport, Prabhupada writes, Naranarayan Rishi is transcendental. He is above the process of vision. He is above the object of vision. And he is above the vision itself. He is beyond vision, the process of vision and the object of vision. He is drashtirna drigyasya gunair vidushyate. He is not affected by it. So when a person understands the supreme position of the Lord, he is not surprised by seeing the power of the Lord. Right. What makes one bewilder is a lack of understanding of the glory of that personality. Like that. And because demigods lack complete understanding of the Supreme Lord, oftentimes they are bewildered by the activities of the Supreme Lord. Right. 10th verse. Ordinary men are always disturbed by material pride and anger, but you are always transcendental. Yeah, they say like that. 10th verse, they continue their prayers. Tvam sevatam surakrita bahavo antaraya. Svauko vilanghya paramam rajatam padamte. Nanyasya bharhashi balin dadata svabhagan. Dhatte padam tvamavita. Yadi vighna murdhani.
The demigods placed many obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend the temporary abodes of the demigods and reach your supreme abode. Those who offer the demigods their assigned shares in sacrificial performances encounter no such obstacles. But because you are the direct protector of your devotee, he is able to step over the head of whatever obstacle the demigods placed before him.
This is another beautiful verse where this Cupid and other demigods and demigoddesses, they glorify not only the Supreme Lord, Naranarayan Rishi, they glorify their devotees also. Very beautiful verse. So demigods many times place so many obstacles on the path of devotees, right? Where else do we hear something similar? Any guesses? Recollections? Dhruva Maharaj, in his contemplation after his darshan, he says that demigods would place obstacles. Demigods will feel envious of me because by devotional service I have attained the darshan of the Lord, like that. So yet demigods themselves are saying like that. They are confirming what Dhruva Maharaj said. So sometimes the demigods become little envious of devotees also. Prithu Maharaj also, demigods place some obstacles. Indra placed some obstacles in Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj sacrifices. So demigods sometimes place obstacles on the path of those who worship you to transcend the temporary abodes of demigods to reach your supreme abode. Now demigods will think, hey, devotee will go to spiritual world. We are just in the material world only, although in a higher planet. So some kind of envy may come in them, insecurity, like that. But Lord always protects those devotees. So this, here it's pointing out that the insignificant position of devotees in relation, demigods, in relation to the Supreme Lord. So just as a farmer is there, he may pay a specific percentage of his profit of agriculture to the tax collector or a king or the government. Right? Similarly, all human beings must offer a percentage of their material wealth to the demigods in sacrifice. They should do some sacrifice, they should offer some oblations to the demigods. Right? So the demigods, so the Lord explains that the demigods are also his servants, and it is he himself who awards the benedictions. Although a Vaishnava or a devotee of the Lord has no need to worship the demigods, demigods, being proud of their exalted material positions, sometimes resent the exclusive devotion of Vaishnava to the Lord, and thus they try to cause the devotee fall down. Right? Devotee to fall down. So people are supposed to offer some sacrifices to the demigods, but a devotee doesn't do all that. He directly worships the Supreme Lord. So demigods become insecure, and then they cause some trouble to the devotees. Same thing happened with Indra in Govardhan episode, right? But Lord protects them. This is also indicating Govardhan episode. Therefore, so-called impediments, this is a beautiful line, last line of the first paragraph, so-called impediments become stimuli for further spiritual advancement for a sincere devotee. Indra caused a lot of disturbance because Indra did not receive that worship. Indra caused a disturbance in Vrindavan, and all Vrajavasis took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna protected them. And those 7 days and seven nights were the most memorable days of Vrajavasis. They were starting to reciprocate with Krishna so personally, so intimately. Is it not? So-called impediments become stimuli for further spiritual advancement for a sincere devotee. This is a beautiful line. So certainly, that Krishna is always the protector of surrendered devotees. Although there may be many obstacles on the path of a sincere devotee who is preaching the glories of the Supreme Lord, such obstacles increase the determination of a devotee. They are giving a preaching application point. In preaching also there are so many obstacles, but that will increase one's determination only. So Jiva Goswami says that the continuous obstacles presented by the demigods form a kind of ladder or a stairway upon which the devotee steadily progresses back to the kingdom of Godhead. Now, what do they say? Demigods are saying, your protector and devotees will step over the head of those obstacles that are placed by demigods and then reach you. Means that acts like a staircase. So there is devotee here, Supreme Lord is here, and the demigods are placing so many obstacles here. So devotees will place their lotus feet on the heads of those obstacles and cross all of them and then reach the Supreme Lord. That becomes like a ladder or a staircase, or you see in some video games the hero jumps from this to that. If they cannot cross that obstacle, he will fall down into the ditch there. It's like that. But devotees cross all those obstacles. Okay, next, 11th verse. Kshitritrikala guna maruta jaiha saishnan asman apara jaladhin atitirya kechit krodhasya yanti vifalasya vasham padegor majjanti duschara tapascha vrithotsrujanti.
Some men practice severe penances to cross beyond our influence, which is like an immeasurable ocean with endless waves of hunger, thirst, heat, cold,
and other conditions brought about by the passing of time, such as sensuous wind and the urges of the tongue and sex organs. Nevertheless, although crossing this ocean of sense gratification through severe penances, such persons foolishly drown in the cow's hoofprint when conquered by useless anger. Thus, they exhaust the benefit of their difficult austerities in vain.
Some other verse also starts like this only. Kshitra tridhata virima muhuradyamana Brahma's prayers. 3.9, correct. Kshitra tridhata virima muhuradyamana Sitoshnavata varashai ritaryatarascha. So many people are there who practice severe penances, tolerating the urges of hunger, this and that. But heat, cold and all of them, they surpass all those conditions. They surpass even lust also. Still, crossing this ocean of sense gratification, they drown in a ditch which is made by calf's or cow's hoof print. They drown there. That is anger. Okay? They crossed hunger, but they could not cross anger. They crossed lust. They crossed so many things, but they could not cross anger. Recently, our Deenbandhu Prabhu is also giving a parikrama there, on the second day parikrama. How many attended? There also he was saying, right? So many sadhus are there. So they have no lust, they have no attachment for envy, their money, greed, nothing is there, but they are infatuated by anger. Right? You touch them, you do some little mistake in front of them, they become like furious, like volcanoes. Right? They are saying the same thing. They foolishly drown in a cow's hoof print when conquered by useless anger. Conquered by useless anger. Anger is also useless there. Thus they exhaust the benefit of their difficult austerities in vain. This is a very brilliant purport for the theme of anger. Many beautiful lessons there. So those engaged in sense gratification are easily conquered by demigods through various weapons such as hunger, thirst, etc. So now, those who do not accept devotional service are in two categories. First category is they engage in sense gratification and they are easily conquered by demigods through their various weapons of sexual desire, lamentation, thirst, hunger, etc. Then second category are there. They are people who attempt to subdue the desires of the material senses and avoid the control of demigods, but they will become victims of anger. Got it, right? There are two types of people who don't worship Lord, who don't do devotional service of the Lord. One is materialistic persons who come under the control of demigods through the medium of other urges, hunger, thirst, etc. Other people, they avoid the control of demigods through their austerities and other things, but they cannot avoid the trap of anger. They become controlled by anger. Although they avoid the control of demigods, they become themselves entangled by their anger. Now, demigod would send some apsara, right, to seduce one rishi. So rishi will not be seduced by that apsara, but he will be captivated by his own anger and curses that. Vishwamitra, whoever. Durvasa, is there any incident? He's known for anger, but some apsara had nothing like that. No? Okay. So although crossing the ocean of sense gratification, those who perform severe penances without the service of the Lord eventually fall into tiny puddles of anger. Now, a very beautiful thing. Anger has its application in devotional service. Prabhupada writes in NOI purports that Hanumanji, Arjun, without anger, how will you fight? Right? With love will you fight? there should be some anger while killing. But anger can be employed in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, against the non-devotees. Right? The anger has its application. When you perform devotional service, all these emotions, even negative emotions also, find their place within the realm of devotional service also, and they also can become spiritual. Krishna sometimes becomes angry, Balaramji becomes angry, Yashodamayi becomes angry. Right? But Yashodamayi's anger and some sage's anger cannot be compared. Right? They are within the realm of devotional service. But without devotional service, you may be cultivating such great jewel-like qualities, but they are all useless because they are devoid of devotional service. This whole theme is glorifying the process of devotional service only. If somebody is not a devotee, he may be very exalted, says he must have controlled his sex urge or hunger or thirst or anything like that, but he will be captivated his anger, captivated by his anger. So devotional service is a must. So one may restrict the activities of senses through one's heart. One may restrict the activities of senses, although one's heart is filled with material desires. So senses are controlled. He could control the senses with determination, but his heart has filled with material desires. When they are not fulfilled, he'll become angry. What is that verse? Second chapter, 62nd. Bhagavad Gita. No, popular verse. Unfulfilled desire will lead to anger. Dhyayato vishan pumsam sangastesho pajayate kamat krodho pajayate. Right? That is krodha. So, they do not achieve ultimate liberation, nor do they enjoy material sense gratification. Such people who perform mundane austerities, although they work so hard, because they don't have devotional service, they neither achieve liberation nor achieve sense gratification. Both are not there. He was so reluctant to accept sense gratification, so he was very much controlled in that regard, but he is not achieving liberation also. His austerities become of no use, like that. They become angry through cursing others or enjoying false pride, etc. So the anger gives neither liberation nor material sense gratification, but merely burns up the results of material penances and austerities. If someone becomes angry and curses someone, he loses the potency that he has acquired through his austerities. He is losing that potency also, like that. So their indifference towards the Lord is like that. That's why in the 11th canto, in the 4th canto, we see when Rudra is born, Brahma gives him 11 places for residence. So there are 11 places where Rudra principle is. The Rudra principle means anger, okay, that exists in 11 places. Okay, earth, water, fire, air, ether, etc. And one of the last or tenth item is austerity. Non-devotional austerity is a place for Rudra. Rudra principle is a place for anger. Non-devotional austerity leads to anger, like that. Just by few words, of course, one loses the credit of all austerities. It's such a dangerous thing. So we'll take a short break. Now, Leela Avataras, we'll just read.
their own wives for this work, rather using the prostitutes.
Wives are demigods.
Deva Vadho
comes, right?
I don't know.
Hey, Udayaka, but culture is like
that. They are like elevated than the human being.
They are elevated, but there is no pregnancy concept there. There is only enjoyment there. I don't know much.
That fellow, that Nigra, he wanted to enter the Sachi, which is the wife of the Nigra. But still, she wants to protect his chastity. So that's why he was, you come with seven sages. He should bring you on.
Yeah,
you
want
to
say.
Nausha.
समुंदर रास हो गया इतना पानी भी डूब गया अभी क्या जोड़ी क्या है मैं
सर देखो ना मतलब इसको यूजलेस बोला गया है जैसा काउ के ऊपर का जो पानी यूजलेस रहता है गंदा रहता है पटल रहता है कुछ फायदा नहीं है उसके इसकी एंगल को भी यूजलेस बोला गया
So Lord manifested, Cupid came with so many ladies, beautiful ladies, to seduce the Lord. But Lord manifested more ladies who are more beautiful than all this. Right? They are all serving the Lord. So Lord Naranarayana showed his causeless mercy towards the demigods by relieving them from their false prestige. So they were very proud. Oh, we are so beautiful. We can easily agitate and agitate these sages and make them fall down. But that false prestige and pride was relieved of them by Lord's mercy. So mercy can come in so many ways. Sometimes Lord would embarrass people to bring them back to senses. Sometimes Lord would outsmart them, right, by creating something more gorgeous than their creation. So there are different ways of humbling and bringing the devotee back to senses. They are all different leelas. So the way Lord brought Brahma back to senses, Indra back to senses, in so many ways, we can see. Even Rishabhdev also, because Indra was stopping rainfall from Ajanabha Varsha, then Rishabhdev created his own rainfall through his Yogamaya. So like that. So although the demigods were proud of their personal beauty and female companions, the Lord showed that he was already being adequately served by innumerable gorgeous females, each of whom was far more beautiful than any female companion imagined by the demigods. Imagined. Forget about their imagination, not even their consorts. Lord can surpass the imaginations of demigods also. Now a man in the material world, in this earthly world, how much he can imagine, right? I will sit in the most costliest building in the entire, say, Bombay city. His imagination cannot go beyond certain extent. Okay, what happens in America, he cannot conceive. He never saw only. Similarly, what happens in a demigod planet, people cannot understand. Demigods, their imagination can go to a large extent. Lord can surpass that also, right? So Lord's creation or his leelas are beyond the imagination of the greatest possible personalities in this material universe. Brahma said, I am Brahma, I am four-headed Brahma. Which other Brahma you are talking about? Brahma with, you know, 1,000 heads, 2,000 heads, million heads, 1 crore heads will come and offer obeisances to Krishna. Brahma Sahadar, it's like it was a shock of his life, right? And his life is throughout the creation, right? Like one full creation is his life. So that is how Krishna humbles people. And for example, a owner of a sweet shop, he's not so much attracted to sweets, right? So Lord can create unlimited beauties, spiritual beauties. He is least attracted by the false beauties of this material creation. He himself can create so many things, so many beautiful people, right? Like that, 13th verse. Te deva anuchara drishtva striyaha strir eva rupini gandhena mamuhustasam rupaudarya hatasriyaha.
When the followers of the demigods gazed upon the fascinating mystic beauty of the woman created by Nar Narayan Rishi and smelled the fragrance of their bodies, the minds of these followers became bewildered. Indeed, upon seeing the beauty and magnificence of such women, the representatives of the demigods were completely diminished in their own opulence.
So they wanted to bewilder Narayan Rishi, and by his creation they got bewildered. Right? Tan aha deva devesha pranatan prahasanniva asam ekatamam vrindham savarnam svargabhushanam.
The Supreme Lord of the Lords then smiled slightly and told the representatives of heaven who were bowing down before him, please choose one of these women, whomever you find suitable for you. She will become the ornament of the heavenly planets.
So he manifested so many, whomever they pick up, na, she is far more beautiful than all these people here, right? She will become the ornament of your heavenly planets. You pick whenever, whomever you want, like that. So Narayan Rishi was almost laughing at the stupidity and immaturity of these demigods, but he didn't want to embarrass them so much, so he was grave also. See, Lord only can have a grave laugh. Like that. Even, Supreme Lord's intention was not to demoralize or disappoint or discourage a devotee. Right? Ultimately, demigods are devotees, but sometimes they do some mistakes. So Lord wants to bring them to senses, but not to make them completely lose inspiration so that they can't continue their service anymore. Like that. Cupid has an important service. Already Indra has an important service, so he doesn't want to ridicule. Even when Indra was about to come to the Lord after lifting Govardhan, so Lord had sent all the Vrajavasis, everyone went away. So the next day, Lord went to Govardhan into a secluded place and stood there. He knows very well that Indra would come now. So Lord did not want to embarrass Indra in front of so many people. Let him come with Sorabhi or whoever, his confidential associates. He will come and then beg forgiveness. He would not be embarrassed so much. Right? He will be embarrassed only in front of few confidential people. It's like a closed door meeting. Or it's like open door in front of Govardhan, but no one is around. In that sense, it's a closed door meeting. Right? Only some small boys were playing around nearby. So the Supreme Lord of Lords smiled slightly and told the representatives, please choose one of them. Then vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the servants of the demigod selected Urvasi, the best of the Apsaras. Placing her in front of them out of respect, they returned to the heavenly planets. Right? So, Om is a Vedic way of saying yes. Where else do we hear this? Okay, Om Tat Sat. Next. Anything else in Bhagavatam? Not 9th or 10th. Okay. Sukracharya tells. Bali Maharaj said, I will give you 3 steps of land. He didn't say Om. Okay. Then Sukracharya says, you didn't say Om. Okay, so you can break your promise. You need not keep your word. You need not give him 3 steps of land, like that. Om is a Vedic way of saying yes. You have some point? He reverses Om.
He said Om first and then
Vrukasar. Okay, next, 14th verse, 15th, 16th verse. We are not reading verses. The servants of the demigods reached the assembly of Indra, and thus, while all the residents of the three heavens listened, they explained to Indra the supreme power of Narayana. When Indra heard of Narayan Rishi and became aware of his offense, he was both frightened and astonished. So Indra became, it's like he is habituated for it, but still he was quite bewildered and astonished. So that is about Naranarayan Rishi's thing. And from 17th verse onwards, we have so many other Leelavataras listed. So 4 or 5 Leelavataras within one verse. It's like a list. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu has descended into this world by his various partial incarnations, such as Hamsa, Dattatreya, 4 Kumaras, okay, and our own father. Who is our own father? Rishabhdev. Who is speaking? Navayogendras. Okay, here Drumila is speaking. What? Who is his father? Rishabhdev. How many sons Rishabhdev had? Out of 100, give the bifurcation. One Bharat Maharaj, 9 Navayogendras, 10? 81 Brahmanas. Karmakandika. They are good Brahmanas. They are all bona fide Brahmanas. They are not Karmakandis. Yeah. So nine Kshatriyas, nine Navayagendras, one Bharatmaharas, 81 Brahmanas. Okay. And all the teachings of Rishabhadev are not meant for them, they are meant for us. Prabhupada writes them clearly, writes it clearly. Then 18th verse. Oh, we stopped in the middle. It's given here only, the mighty Rishabhadev. I asked a very easy question. By such incarnations, the Lord teaches the science of self-realization for the benefit of the whole universe. In his appearance as Hayagriva, the Lord killed the demon Madhu and thus brought the Vedas back from the hellish planet Patala Loka. Someone please read this. Next verse.
In his appearance as a fish, the Lord protected Satyavrat Manu, the earth and her valuable herbs. He protected them from the waters of annihilation. As a boar, the Lord killed Hiranyaksha, the son of Diti, while delivering the earth from the universal waters. As a tortoise, he lifted Mandar mountain on his back so that the nectar could be churned from the ocean. Lord saved the surrendered king of elephants, Gajendra, who was suffering terrible distress from the grips of a crocodile.
Mm. Yeah, go ahead.
The Lord also delivered the tiny...
All this you have heard till now in Bhagavatam, many of them. Mm.
The Lord also delivered the tiny ascetic sages called the
Valakilyas.
When they fell into the water in a cow's hoofprint and Indra was laughing at them, the Lord then saved Indra when Indra was covered by darkness due to the sinful reaction for killing Vritrasur. When the wives of the demigods were trapped in the palace of the demons without any shelter, the Lord saved them. In his incarnation as Narasimha, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of demons, to free the saintly devotees from fear.
Mm. Valakilyas, yeah, I don't know much about them also. They're like very tiny, small sages, right? Once they fell into the hoof print of a cow, and Indra was laughing, but Lord protected them. But I don't know more details of that. Prabhuji, any details about Valakilyas? Okay. Yeah, 20th verse.
The Supreme Lord regularly takes advantage of the wars between the demons and demigods to kill the leaders of the demons. The Lord thus encouraged the demigods by protecting the universe through the various incarnations during the reigns of each Manu. The Lord also appeared as Vaman and took the earth away from Bali Maharaj on the plea of begging three steps of land. The Lord then returned the entire world to the sons of Aditi.
Okay. 21 we will recite. It's about Ram and Parashuram together. This also. Wives of demigods trapped in
palace of demons.
And it's not very clearly indicated. Chakravarti Pada also doesn't say, and we don't have access to other commentaries. No. Here only, like so many demons are there, they are capturing demigods' wives. Okay, maybe. Narakasura also. Narakasura, he captured Indra 7. Maybe that is referring to it. It's nothing is clearly mentioned, which pastime it is. Chakravarti Pada also doesn't say that. Nikshatriyam akritagam chatri saptakritto Ramastu hai haya kulapyaya bhargavagni Sobdhim bhavandha dashak vaktramahan salakkam Sita patir jayati lokamalaghna kirti. This is not just listing the incarnation, it's like a beautiful prayer also. Glorification of Parashuram and Ram and begging for their mercy to destroy the contamination of the world. Nikshatriyam akritagam cha trisapta krutto. So, trisapta. Sapta is seven. Three is 3 into 7, how many? 21. So 21 times our Parashuram made this world nikshatriyam, devoid of kshatriyas. He killed all the kshatriyas. Ramastu hai haya. Here this Rama, first Rama is referring to Parashuram, right? Hai haya kulapyaya bhargavagnihi. Hai haya, in the dynasty of Hai haya. Who is that? Kartavirya Arjuna. Right? He killed, destroyed them in the Bhargava Agni. That is descending, Bhargava is descendant of Bhrugumuni. In his Agni, Agni, fire Agni, that Hai Haya dynasty is killed. He has some 1,000 sons, right? 100 or 1,000 sons? Kartavirya Arjuna. 1,000 sons, all of them were killed. Then, so abdhim babandha dashavaktra mahan salankam. So abdhim babandha. So Lord Ram constructed a setu on top of ocean, and he killed the Lankadhish, Mr. Ravana. And Sitapater Jayati, Loka Malaghna Kirtihi. So Jayati, they are glorifying Sita Devi, Sita Ram, Sita Pati, right? And that glorification of Lord Ram and Parashuram will remove the contamination of this world. Loka Malaghna Kirtihi. So Kirti has that potency. And it is understood that Lord Ramchandra is more or less a contemporary incarnation for Navayogendras, right? So they are giving special prominence to Lord Ram by saying Jayati. Then, to diminish the burden of earth, the unborn Lord will take birth in the Yadu dynasty. Will take birth. This is a future incarnation. Because Nimi wanted to hear past incarnations, present incarnations, and future incarnations, right? This is future now. To diminish the burden of the earth, the unborn Lord will take birth in the Yadu dynasty as Krishna and Rama, Balram, and perform feats impossible even for the demigods. Propounding speculative philosophy, the Lord as Buddha will bewilder the unworthy performers of Vedic sacrifices. And as Kalki, the Lord will kill the low-class men posing as rulers at the end of age of Kali. Right? Then, O mighty armed king, there are innumerable appearances and activities of the Supreme Lord of the universe similar to those I have already mentioned. In fact, the glories of the Supreme Lord are unlimited. Evam vidhani janmani karmani cha jagatpatehe bhuruini bhuri yashaso varnitani mahabhuja. Varnitani. It's very difficult to completely describe or enumerate the glories of the Lord and incarnations of the Lord. So he began his answer like that, he ended his answer like that, Drumila, about the incarnations of the Lord. That is the 7th question and its answer. Now we'll go to the 8th question of Nimi in the 5th chapter. Okay, 5th chapter, Narada's teachings to Vasudeva. This is the last chapter, 8 and 9. 2 questions are discussed here and the chapter comes to an end.
Shri Rajo Vacha Bhagavantam Harim Prayo Nabhajantyatmavat Vittamaha Teshama Shanta Kamanam Kanishtha Vijitatmanam.
King Nimi further inquired, "My dear Yogendras, all of you are most perfect in knowledge and the science of the self. Therefore, kindly explain to me the destination of those who, for the most part, never worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who are unable to quench their material desires and who are not in control of their own selves."
This is, let's understand the question. Basically, the question is, please describe about those who do not worship the Lord. Okay, in a sense, that is the question. Bhagavantam harim prayo na bhajanti atma vittamaha. Oh, atma vittama. Oh, you are all perfect in the science of self. Atma vittama. You know the science of self. So my question is, Bhagavantam harim prayo na bhajanti. So there are people who do not worship na bhajanti Bhagavantam. They cannot worship the Supreme Lord. Tesham ashanta kamanam. Their kama, their desires are ashanta. They are not fulfilled. Then, na nishtha vijitatmanam. So, then they cannot attain their destinations. And avijita atmanam. They are unable to control their senses or themselves. They cannot control themselves. So what is the destination or goal or anything, other details about non-devotees who do not worship the Supreme Lord? That is the question. So in this chapter, we have the description of these non-devotees who do not worship the Lord. Second, Yuga Avataras. That is also described in this. That is done by Karabhajana in the end. And the first half is Chamasa Rishi will describe this inauspicious path of those who are unfavorable to devotional service. Like that. So in the previous chapter, it is mentioned that although the demigods place obstacles in the path of Lord's devotees, by Lord's mercy, all the devotees will be able to place their feet on the heads of those obstacles and then reach the Supreme Lord. Right? That is the expertise of devotees and the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So as soon as, that is about devotees, but what about non-devotees? As soon as a conditioned soul becomes indifferent to devotional service, he becomes a non-devotee, then he is immediately attracted by temporary varieties of matter and become a slave of inauspicious desires. Right? What will happen to him? That is the question. Okay? Nimi is trying to understand that also. So, what is the goal of such bewildered persons? Now, to describe this unfortunate condition of those who do not worship the Lord, Chamasa Rishi will begin with people who practice to worship the Lord. People who practice to practice this Varnashram system. Okay, within Varnashram system, they gradually progress towards the Lord. So that is first described. So before entering the realm of people who don't worship the Lord. Like that. He begins like that. So first he begins by describing how the Lord is the source of everyone in this world. Okay. Sri Chamasa Uvacha Mukhabahu Rupadebhya Purushasya Ashramaih Saha Chatvaro Jagnire Varna Gunair Vipradaya Prathak.
Sri Chamasa said, each of the four social orders headed by the Brahmanas was born through different combinations of the modes of nature, from the face, arms, thighs and feet of the Supreme Lord in His universal form. Thus the four spiritual orders were also generated.
So Lord is the source of Varnashram. Right? Mukha Bahu Uru Padebhyaha. So from Lord's Mukha, face, Bahu, arms, Uru, thighs and Pada, feet. Right? Purushasya Ashramai Saha. Ashramas, four ashramas came out. What are the four ashramas? Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sanyasi. All of them came out from Lord's body only. Then Chatvaro Jagnire Varnaha Gunaihi Vipradaya Prathak. Similarly, Varnas also came from Lord's body. Right? So Brahmana and Varnas also came from Lord's body with certain combination of modes. Right? Chatvaro Jagnire Varna Gunairi Vipradaya Prathak. Gunair means they come with certain combination of modes. A Brahmana comes from mode of goodness. And a Kshatriya comes with a combination of goodness and passion. A Vaishya comes with a combination of passion and ignorance. And a Shudra is predominantly in ignorance. Right? They all originate from Lord's body only. So, different Varnas, they appear from Lord's head, arms, and thighs and feet. That's how Varnas manifest. And from Ashramas, Brahmacharis originate from Lord's heart. Then Grihasthas originate from Lord's hips. Then from Lord's chest, Vanaprasthas come. And from Lord's head, Sannyasis come. This is the origin of Ashramas. Origin of Varnas as given by this verse. Mukha Bahu Uru Pada. Right? So Lord is the source of Varnas and Ashramas. Okay? That much is clear so far. Then it is understood that pure devotional service to the Lord has already been described by two of Navayogendras, right? Drumila and Avihotra described about pure devotional service previously in some of the earlier questions. Now Chamasamani is describing Varnashram system because this will This is not pure devotional service, but this is meant to gradually purify those who are inimical to the Supreme Lord and bring them to their constitutional position of performing pure devotional service. It's a facility offered to all the souls to purify themselves, to come to the stage of pure devotional service. Right? So, same thing our Kapil Muni also does. First he describes in 25th chapter when Devahuti asks, 30th kind of 25th chapter, what is that devotional service which I can perform so that I can easily attain your lotus feet? What does Kapil Muni say? He performed pure devotional service. What is that? Devanam Gunalinganam. That verse he says, he perform Uttama Bhakti. Right? If you cannot do that, you perform Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. First he discusses pure devotional service. Then later in the later chapters, 29th chapter I think, he discusses various classes of bhakti. Bhakti in the mode of goodness, bhakti performed in the mode of passion, bhakti performed in the mode of ignorance, like that. Here also Varnashram is coming behind. So, those who are not spontaneously attracted to devotional service can gradually be purified by observing Varnashram system. So, anything spontaneous will need certain preparation before, right? Some training. Now, say Makanlal Charan Prabhu can arrange sound system in 2 minutes. It must have taken a lot of effort on his side to be able to arrange the sound system in 2 minutes, right? Lot of training, where to insert this, there are so many holes, where I should insert this thing. So, all this, that needs training. So, Vaidhi is there. So, in Varnashtam, you just get trained in so many things, so that spontaneously you can do certain things, right? So, Vaidhi is needed. So, since the foolish materialist cannot understand anything beyond matter, he is encouraged to see entire universe as a personal form of Lord's body. Same thing. You cannot directly appreciate the beauty of the deity of the Lord. So, see, try to appreciate the beauty of the nature. Oh, see, nature is so beautiful. And the Lord who created this nature must be also beautiful. And here is that Lord, deity. So, we will show him in a way that is appreciated by him. So, like that. Basically, there is kindergarten, then first grade, second grade, fourth grade, tenth grade, then come to plus one, plus two, then B.Tech, M.Tech, Ph.D. like that. Directly, one cannot start with Ph.D. Right? That is mentioned. That gradual process. So, that's a facility in this Vedic culture that anyone can practice devotional service. Right? Whichever stage he may be in. So, he will just enter that school, right, and start from there. So, Lord is full of spiritual potencies under the principal headings Hladini, then Sandhini and Samvit. It is understood from this verse that the Varnashrama system generated from the universal form of the Lord is a program offered by the Lord to engage conditioned souls in a complete social and religious system that gradually brings them back to Godhead. Like that. So, it is generated from Lord's universal form. Okay. Then third verse.
Yesham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishvaram nabhajantya vajananti sthanad bhrashtaha patantyadaha. If any of the members of the four varnas and four ashramas fail to worship or intentionally disrespect the personality of Godhead, who is the source of their own creation, they will fall down from their position into a hellish state of life.
So, in the previous verse, Chamasarishi nicely described the varnashram thing. Because pure devotional service is already described, now I will discuss the facility or the social structure in which pure devotional service can be nicely practiced. Right? So, pure devotional service is our philosophy, Varnashram system is our practice. Like that. So, Prabhupada first introduced pure devotional service, then he introduced Varnashram. Then he spoke about Varnashram. Like that. So, Varnashram system as a philosophy is rejected by Lord Chaitanya in his discussion with Ramananda Rai. So it's not a philosophy. So it's a practice. It's a, what to say, it's a system that can support the practice of philosophy. Container, like that, in Govind Prabhu's words, right? So goal of life is not to practice Varnashram. The goal of life is to attain pure devotional service. But Varnashram will facilitate practicing devotional service, like that. So philosophically we are dependent on Shastra, but practically we are dependent on this Varnashram system. So now in the third verse, Chamasa Rishi explains about two kinds of people who do not worship the Lord. So within Varnashram system, you have to worship the Lord. Otherwise, Varnashram system is also not useful, right? So now, third verse, please hear attentively. So Kapila Muni, Chamasa Rishi describes two kinds of people. Ya esham purusham sakshat atma prabhavam ishvaram na bhajanti. There are two categories of people. One category is na bhajanti. They don't worship the Lord out of ignorance, right? Second, avajananti. Avajananti is different from na bhajanti. Avajananti is disrespect the Lord. In spite of having knowledge about the Lord, they intentionally disrespect the Lord. That is the second category, most dangerous category. First category is out of innocence or ignorance or lack of knowledge, they don't worship the Lord. They're innocent people, right? So in any, now these two categories are within Varnashram system only. So first verse is not like not hanging. It is very much connected to the second verse. First verse says that, first means here second in his answer. So second verse says that describes about the Varnas and Ashramas. So within those Varnashram people, there could be two kinds of people who do not worship the Lord and who ridicule the Lord, right? These are the two people who don't worship the Lord. Then, they are non-devotees, these two categories of people. Now, what will happen to them? Sthanad bhrashtaha patanti adaha. Such people who do not worship the Lord, who belong to these two categories, they fall down from their position. Okay, they may even go to hell. Sthanad bhrashtaha. They lose their positions in this Varnashram system. For example, Brahmana, he's a Brahmana, okay? But he doesn't worship the Lord. He'll fall down from his position as a Brahman, like that. Now, Chakravartipad says very nicely that the original cause of offending the Lord, this is about the second category of people who offend the Lord, who avajananti category, who disrespect the Lord. The original cause of offending the Lord and falling down from one's position is not a, is a, one's not learning how to properly worship a bona fide spiritual master. So guru is more important. Because one who is trained to offer obeisances to obeisances and worship to a bona fide spiritual master will automatically properly worship the Supreme Lord also. Why one will ridicule or disrespect the Supreme Lord? Because he doesn't have a proper guru. He doesn't have a proper teacher who can teach the glories of guru. He never surrendered to the Lord. That's why you see so many books are published about Bhagavatam or Ramayana or Mahabharata, whatever. So many books are published which are glorifying the Supreme Lord. They are available in so many bookstores throughout the world. Anyone can pick up a book and then start reading it, directly the text. Okay? Then he may still not develop proper appreciation for the Lord if the book is not compiled by a bona fide acharya. Unless he comes to a bona fide teacher and learns about the Lord from that guru, he will. There are quite good chances that he might offend the Lord. He might not understand the Lord properly. And some people may even offend the Lord, in spite of knowing him. So many people know about the activities of Krishna. If one takes birth in India, by default he hears about Krishna and his activities. By default he hears about Ram and his activities. And people, because they don't have bona fide gurus, they say that Krishna was killed by a hunter's arrow. Ram committed suicide in Sarayu River, right? So this kind of interpretations they hear, okay, and they lose faith in Supreme Lord. all because of lack of proper guru. Then here in the first line, ya esham purusham sakshad. Here this purusha is referring to Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, to whom purusha sukta of prayers are offered. Right? If one is proud of his high social position and enviously thinks of the Lord, and he also thinks that the Lord is also creation of this nature, there is no absolute entity who is the origin of living entities, if he thinks like that, he will fall down from his varnashram position. Like that. This is about two categories of people, who disrespect the Lord or who do not worship the Lord. Fourth verse describes the first category, na bhajanti category. There are two categories, na bhajanti category and avajananti category. Fourth verse describes na bhajanti category. They are innocent people, ignorant people. Dure hari katha kechid. Dure chachyuta kirtanaha. Striyasudradayaschaiva. Tenukampya bhavadrisham.
There are many persons who have little opportunity to take part in discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, and thus it is difficult for them to chant His infallible glories. Persons such as women, Shudras, and other fallen classes always deserve the mercy of the great personalities like yourself.
So, dure harikatha kechit. Dure. Okay, they are very far from harikatha. Dure achyuta kirtanah. They are very away from the glorification of, not achyuta's kirtanah. He got little embarrassed. Achyuta kirtanah. Achyuta kirtanah means the glorification of Lord Achyuta. Okay. Then, striya, of course you can say like that also, there's nothing wrong. Those who are very far from Achyuta Nityananda Prabhu's kirtan, right? So, striyaha sudradayas chaiva te anukampaya bhavadrisham. So, such people who are like women, sudras, low class men and, okay. So, they deserve anukampaya bhavadrisham. They deserve your mercy. Now, Navayagendras, the Chamasa Rishi is pointing out Nimi. Nimi, they deserve your mercy. You are a devotee. You should show mercy to such ignorant people and bring them to Krishna consciousness. He is saying like that. Or a king like you should be responsible to facilitate their coming to Krishna consciousness, to facilitate preaching in your kingdom. Like that. That's why devotee, king should become devotee. That is the message. So they need your mercy. We say like that. So anukampaya is done in two ways. One, by instructions on bhakti. Second, by the dust of your lotus feet on their heads. Right? Dust of the devotees' lotus feet on the head of this kind of ignorant people. That is how anukampaya can be shown. Like that. So now this woman and low class men like sudras, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, stay far away from, you know, women and low class men. So Mahaprabhu also gave that instruction. So he warned all the practicing devotees, sadhus, saintly persons, to avoid intimate connection with women and low class men. Right? So the practical result of such a restriction is that these two categories, striyaha, sudra, they don't get to attend kirtans, they don't get to attend classes. Right? Dure harikata kejit, dure achyuta kirtanah. So because there is a warning given to the practicing sadhus to stay away from these two categories of people, sudra and stri, they don't get the opportunity to hear only. They remain ignorant. So the recommendation here is, you should show some mercy. King should show some mercy. A devotee should show some mercy. That is Prabhupada's preaching. So Prabhupada went and he gave all classes of men and women, whether they were mlechas or yavanas or low class people, sudras or women, Prabhupada initiated them as brahmanas also. He allowed them to practice Krishna consciousness. He allowed them to the inner realms of Krishna consciousness. He gave them access to, you know, deity worship. He gave them access to read Bhagavatam. He gave them access to Mahamantra. So that is Prabhupada's Anukampaya. So far they were dure harikatha kechi, dure achyuta kirtanaha. They were very far away from kirtan and harikatha. Prabhupada brought them right inside. You also do harikirtan. What to speak of coming closer to harikatha and closer to Krishna kirtan. You do Krishna kirtan, you do harikatha. So Prabhupada empowered them to such an extent. Right? That is Prabhupada's Anukampaya. This is a very good verse for preaching. This is about ignorant people, not envious people. This is the first category, Nabhajanti category. Why they are Nabhajanti, why they belong to Nabhajanti category? Because like, they never got an opportunity to come close to Harikatha. They're always dure, like that. So in this age, practically everyone is fallen. Prabhupada says, everyone is fallen. Why are you categorizing, why are you keeping away Sudra and Stri? Everyone is a fallen in Kali Yuga. But he saw that if spiritual life were to be limited to so-called higher classes, there would be no possibility of spreading a genuine spiritual movement all around the world. You see, higher classes only are qualified to practice Krishna consciousness. Only higher class, kaun hai idhar? In Kali Yuga, in this earthly planet, there is no higher class. So-called higher classes only. Even if they are some higher class people, higher class means higher character people. There are very few. They are anyways practicing, right? But if you have to spread this movement throughout the world, you have to give mercy to everyone. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so great and the holy name of Krishna is so potent that any man, woman, child or even animal can become purified by chanting Krishna's name and can take prasadam, the sanctified remnants of Krishna's food. That is the glory of Mahaprabhu. In Mahaprabhu's movement, no sincere person is restricted from achieving the highest perfection of self-realization. Whether it is stree or sudra or animal or a child or American or Indian or whatever. Everyone has access. So it is always been the custom of Vaishnavas to be merciful to all classes of living entities. And what Prabhupada did is nothing modern. When was this discussion happening? From hundreds of thousands of years ago, this discussion was happening between Nimi and Navayogendras. In which Manvantara, which yoga they belong to. They were discussing about this. Right? So Vasudev is hearing from Narada Muni, that is 5000 years back. But Narada Muni was quoting a conversation between Nimi and Navayogendra. It happened many thousands of years back. So what Prabhupada did is nothing deviant, okay, nothing out of tradition. It's clearly saying, Dure Harikata Keche, Dure Achyuta Kirtanaha, Striyaha Sudra, Sudra Dayasseva, Te Anukampaya Bhavadrisham. So clear, simple Sanskrit, right? Personalities like yourself should show mercy on them, like that. So fifth verse, from fifth to tenth, next six verses describe the type two people. Who are the type two people? Avajananti fellows. That is described from this verse. Vipro Rajanya Vaishyava Hareh Praptaha Padantikam Shrautena Janmanathapi Muhyanta Amnaya Vadinaha.
On the other hand, Brahmanas, members of the royal order and Vaishyas, even after being allowed to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Hari, by receiving the second birth of Vedic initiation, can become bewildered and adopt various materialistic philosophies.
So now, first we began by saying there are four Varnas and four Ashramas. Okay, the four Varnas who came from Lord's body only. Now next we said we defined two categories of people, Nabhajanti and Avajananti. So now later we discussed about Avajananti, Nabhajanti category, who are majority is Sudras. Now this verse is Avajananti category, which contains higher classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishyas. So these three categories of people, although they belong to higher class, they are members of royal order, Vaishyas. They are allowed to approach the lotus feet of the Lord, still they become bewildered and adopt to various atheistic philosophies. They are Avajananti people. So that is why little knowledge can always be dangerous. They don't have complete knowledge. So they become indifferent to bhakti by obtaining little jnana. Okay, these higher classes people, Avajananti category people. So they are puffed up by false pride. They are ignorant, but they don't inquire from learned devotees. Right? By reading, you see this sentence in the first paragraph. By studying Vedic literature, chanting Vedic mantras, executing ritualistic ceremonies, and worshipping spiritual master and the personality of Godhead, such persons gradually come near to lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Higher category people, they have access to Shastras, they have access to Brahmanas, right? By practicing all that, they come closer to the lotus feet of the Lord. But if he becomes proud of that higher status, or he gets fascinated by heavenly enjoyment, material enjoyment, then he will fall down, right? He will be bewildered by Lord's Maya, right? They are higher, they belong to a higher category, Varnashram system, right? So they have access to so many facilities, so many brahmanas and devotional service and deities, etc. But they become proud, then they will have to fall down, they will become bewildered, right? That is the allurement of Maya. This can happen within the devotional circles also. But when somebody is given a higher position within the devotee community, he is given more recognition or more privileged service or whatever, that also could be a cause of his ruination or bewilderment, right? By constantly being around the deities, for example, he is given access to deity worship, right? He serves deities so closely, there is a possibility that he may ridicule other devotees. Kapila Muni describes such people in the third canto. Someone who worships me so gorgeously with all rules and regulations, but fails to see me in other living entities, his worship is like bogus. His worship is like ashes in oblations in ashes. Like that. So this could happen anywhere. So now, anywhere there is realm, in any area, there are gradations. Okay, there is hierarchy. So some people belong to higher categories, some people belong to lower categories. This has nothing to do with pure devotional service. This has nothing to do with his connection with Supreme Lord. Okay, someone who is sweeping the floor of temple can be a more exalted devotee than someone who is sitting on the Vyasasana and giving katha. Right? But being in higher categories, it's a great responsibility, and there is a lot of risk factor also there. That the risk factor is being discussed here. He is belonging to Brahmana. Definitely Brahmana is superior to Shudra. But if he belongs to Avajananta category, that Brahmana will fall down. But if that Shudra belongs to Nabhajanti category, and if he gets the access to mercy of a pure devotee, he will become a pure devotee. Right? Like that. And these are all Vedavada Rataha. Okay? To justify their illusory desires to enjoy dead matter, see, it's heavy lines. Foolish people condemn themselves by minimizing the necessity to worship the Lord and falsely try to give equal importance to karmakandic section of Vedas. Somewhere in Hamsaguhya prayers also, in those places also. Why in spite of studying so much Vedic literature, people are attracted to these karmakandic sacrifices? Because they want the fame and they want to attract the attention of people, crowd. Oh, so-and-so person is performing such a huge sacrifice. So many guests are invited. He is giving so much charity. So he must be very great. They want that kind of fame. They want to be noticed. They want to be recognized in the public as a performer of great sacrifice, pomp. Right? That also will cause their bewilderment. Their Vedavadarata. Their offensive class. So here they very nicely quote Prabhupada's purport. Two paragraphs is Prabhupada's purport of Yamimam Pushpatam Vacha. Okay. They say that nothing is beyond heavenly enjoyment. So their desire to ignore, I'm reading the next page, 12th page, second paragraph. Their desire to ignore the supreme proprietorship of Supreme Lord, who is the enjoyer, right? Bhoktaraya Vignatapasam. And at the same time, they wish to preserve their exalted status as followers of Vedic principles. Such duplicitous persons take shelter of materialistic philosophies such as Jaimini. They want to show off as a follower of Vedic tradition, and Vedaishya Sarvai Rahameva Vedyo, that they deny. The essence of Vedas is to worship the Supreme Lord and understand the Supreme Lord, that they deny. But they want to pose themselves as Vedic followers. Okay, I am Krishna Bhakta, but I don't want to chant Krishna's name. Something like that. That is duplicitous behavior. They are called Anaishwaryavadinaha. And they are sometimes pose themselves as gurus. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that they are not gurus, they are laghus. Like that. Laghu or flimsy rather than a guru. So the conclusion of the purport is, it's one's ultimate duty to worship the Supreme Lord. Swarthagati. Natevadu Swarthagatim hi Vishnu. It's a long purport. Sixth verse. Karmanyako vidastabdha. Murkhah panditamaninah. Vadanti chatukan mudham. Yaya madhvya girotsukah.
Ignorant of the art of work, such arrogantly proud fools, enchanted and enlivened by the sweet words of the Vedas, pose as learned authorities and offer flattering entities to the demigods.
They are karmani akovidaha. Akovida means ignorant people. Why they are called ignorant? Because they don't know how to do activities without creating bondage. If you do something, some activity, and that causes trouble to you only, are you called a learned person or intelligent person? An intelligent person does something which will not cause trouble to him. But these people, they do so many activities which cause trouble to themselves only. That's why they are called akovida. Right? So you want to clean this room. So while cleaning this room, you are like, what to say? Okay, this may not be the right example. For example, somebody fell in some well, in some ditch. You want to pull him out, right? That's a very good thing to serve him like that. You put some rope or something like that. You want to pull him out. Instead of pulling him out, you only fall down, right? By doing it in an intelligent way, you put some rope or you just tie it to some tree and then ask him to just climb up. There are intelligent ways of doing it. So someone does foolishly and then falls inside also, and someone else has to come and rescue these two fellows, then that's not a very intelligent way of doing it. So here Chakravartipad describes them as akovida. Chakravartipad gives an explanation for this akovida because they don't know how to do activities without creating bondage. And stabdaha, they're puffed up by false pride. Then pandita maininaha, they're akovida, but they think they themselves as pandits. Okay, we are pandits, we are learned people, like that. So they are ignorant. Another important quality of these people is, they are ignorant, but they are not inclined to inquire from a learned person, a learned devotee. First, they don't acknowledge that they are ignorant. They think they are pandits. So once you have that feeling, how can you surrender to some other person and learn a good behavior from him? Okay. That is their condition. They are unaware that even Brahma, the creator of universe, will die at the end of universal time. But they just follow some Vedic karmakandic things and jump like frogs from one planetary system to another planetary system. Right? Actually, the entire universe is meant to be offered to Lord Vishnu as sacrifice. But conditioned soul, being puffed up by his false pride, the materialistic follower of Vedas remain perpetually ignorant of the supremacy and the beauty of Lord Vishnu. Like that. Rajasa ghora sankalpa kamuka ahimanyava dambhikamanina prapa vihasanjatyuta priyan.
Due to the influence of the mode of passion, the materialistic followers of the Vedas become subject to violent desires and are excessively lusty. Their anger is like that of a snake. Deceitful, overproud, and sinful in their behavior, they mock the devotees who are dear to Lord Achyuta.
Rahasa ghora sankalpa. Rajasa, sorry. Rajasa means their passion is very prominent in them. Ghora sankalpa, very dangerous word, ghora word. Ghora sankalpa means their sankalpa, their desire or their determination to perform certain activities, ghora, very horrible, very ghastly, right? What does that mean? I will curse him to fall from that building, right? He should break his bones tomorrow. Like that, he should lose all his property. Let there be some theft in his bank, theft in his company, and let him become a beggar. So this is what they desire for other people. That is ghora sankalpa, right? Let his wife go with some other fellow. So that kind of desires they have. They are the qualities of materialists. Violent desires. They are excessively lusty. Kamuka means excessively lusty. Then ahimanyavaha. Ahimanya means their manyu means anger, ahi means snake. Their anger is as good as snake's anger. Like the dambhika, deceitful. Then maninaha means overly proud, manina, overly proud. Papa, they're very sinful. Vihasanti, they make fun of people. Achyuta priyan, whom do they make fun of? They make fun of devotees who are very dear to Lord Achyuta. Okay? So that is, these are the glorious qualities. Divine and demoniac natures, 16th chapter, something similar. Dambodhar pobhimanascha, krodha parushyamevacha, agnanam chabhijatascha, parthaha sampadam asurim. They are sampada. They are the property, or sampada is exactly what? They are the, sampada is wealth. They are the wealth of non-devotees. These are the wealth of materialistic people. Like that. Ghastly desires. Let him die. See, I said, he is my enemy. Let him die. That is their ghora sankalpa. Then eighth verse. Vadanti tenyonyam upasitastriyo. Griheshu maithunya pareshu chashisha. Yajantasistana vidhana dakshinam. Vrityai param ghananti pasun atadvida.
The materialistic followers of Vedic rituals give up the worship of the Lord. Instead, practically worship their wives, and thus their homes become dedicated to sex life. Such materialistic householders encourage one another in such whimsical behavior. Understanding ritualistic sacrifices as a necessary item for bodily maintenance, they perform unauthorized ceremonies in which there is no distribution of foodstuffs or charity to the brahmanas and other respectable persons. Instead, they cruelly slaughter animals such as goats without any understanding of the dark consequences of their activities.
So four qualities of such avajananti people are described in this verse. Vadanti te anyonyam upasita striyu. Upasita. They are nabhayanti. Upasita means they worship striyam. They worship their consorts. Like that. They worship their wives. So vadanti te anyonyam upasita striyu. Then second, griheshu maithunya pareshu chashishaha. Ashishaha means, oh, may you be maithunya pareshu. May you be absorbed in your sense gratificatory activities with your, you know, consorts, right? In your house, right? They exchange blessings. They bless each other. Okay, you enjoy sense gratification nicely. Oh, you also enjoy sense gratification nicely. So like that, they kind of, they bless each other. Asisha. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Then, for third, yajanti asrishtana vidhana dakshinam, right? They perform unauthorized ceremonies. Their celebrations are very much concocted, right? Then, vrityai param ghananti pashun atad vidaha. And ghananti pashun, they kill animals and in their ceremonies, they slaughter goats and chickens like that. That is their fallen condition. Ghananti Pashun. Who is that incarnation who wanted to stop this? Buddha. Nindasi yagna vidhe ahaha shruti jatam sadaya hridaya vadarshita pasu ghatam keshavadhrita nara buddha sharira jay jagadish hare. So same thing, ghananti pashun, these people, followers of Vedic rituals, they kill the animals for their sense gratification. To stop them, Lord has to incarnate as Buddha and reject Vedas only, completely, right? So these are the things that are described here. Then false pride is certainly not complete without sex intelligence. So earlier they are described as falsely proud people. Dambhika, 7th verse describes them as Dambhika, Maninaha. Dambhika is deceitful, Manina is overly proud. So that pride is always accompanied by sex desire. So pride means what? I'm the controller. Sex desire means that's the controllership. I'm the enjoyer, right? I can enjoy. So that is very prominent in a conditioned soul, in a proud soul. So it's always accompanied by sex indulgence. Thus, lusty, materialistic householders are not attracted to worshipping saintly persons. They worship their own wives, right? They do all. They worship it. They do alankar, shringar. They offer them jewels and necklaces and saris, this and that. Shringar satakam. Like that. Yeah, we have examples of so many kings who are like infatuated by the beauty of their consorts. Or their, queens and, what is that? Dasi? What is that? Who is that called? Kept people. Like that. A mistress, whatever. So generally, materialistic householders consider themselves to be very religious. Okay? We are following Vedic system. We are leading our household life very nicely. And these people are irresponsible sadhus. Right? They left everything. They are irresponsible to the society. Who said like this? In Bhagavatam? Daksha told Narada Muni, you are asadhu. I am a faithful grihamedhi householder. You are an asadhu in the garb of a sadhu. I am more sadhu than you. He said like that. So Prabhupada describes him, he is a grihamedhi. All grihamedhis think like that. Okay, whoever has little inclination to follow Vedic rituals, they think that other sadhus and sannyasis are bogus and they are following Vedic system nicely. We are more responsible, they are irresponsible. Like that. That is also described here again. Men who are controlled by nature of women become exactly like women, like that. So thus, being completely ignorant of the material mode of goodness, what to speak of spiritual knowledge, such condemned materialists have no hope beyond the mercy of devotees. What is their only hope? Some devotee has to take the trouble of approaching them and give them good counsel in a way that is acceptable for them, and gradually they will come to the path of Krishna consciousness. Right, otherwise they're going towards hell. 9th verse. I thought of completing 10 verses at least. Okay. Shriya vibhuta abhijanena vidyaya tyagena rupena balena karmana jatasmayena andhadhiya saheshwaran Sato vamanyanti haripriyan khalah.
The intelligence of cruel minded persons is blinded by false pride based on great wealth, opulence, prestigious family connections, education, renunciation, personal beauty, physical strength, and successful performance of Vedic rituals.
These are the 8 reasons for pride. Okay, pride can arise from 8 reasons. Wealth, great wealth, opulence, prestigious family, education, renunciation. See, renunciation also can cause pride. Then personal beauty, physical strength, and successful performance of Vedic rituals. Right, these are the 8 causes of pride. So renunciation, it is said that Sudama was slightly proud of his renunciation. He was not so much inclined to take assistance from Krishna. Like that. And Bali Maharaj is very much, he is also slightly proud of his wealth. So Krishna made Bali Maharaj humble by taking away all wealth. Krishna made Sudama humble by giving him all wealth. Like that. Krishna has his own ways. The theme of Krishna's dealings with devotees is same. Details will vary. Krishna wants to keep the devotee in a very sane condition, right? Devoid of all other material faults. So the attractive, read completely.
Being intoxicated with this false pride, such cruel persons blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees.
The attractive qualities exhibited by the conditioned soul originally belong to the Supreme Lord, who is the reservoir of all attractive qualities. So although all these eight qualities are exhibited by someone, and he is becoming proud of that, they are all coming from the Lord only. We read in 15th chapter of 1st Canto that Arjuna could not protect the wives of Krishna from some infidel cowherds. And he is the person who is the hero of Kurukshetra war. Krishna gave him powers to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. Once the service is over, Krishna took them out. Right? Tadvai Dhanushta. That verse, correct. So, whatever powers one has is coming from the Supreme Lord only, for specific purpose. The best way of utilizing them is to use them in Krishna service. Like that. So, they end the purport. Hridayananda Goswami and team, they end the purport saying that they are unable to understand how they have become abominable and it is difficult to prevent them from going to hell. Difficult to, not impossible. But one needs a lot of spiritual strength to protect such a person. Like that. To tame a tiger, you need a lot of strength. Okay, to tame a dog or some deer, maybe a little easy. Similarly, to preach to some innocent and ignorant people might be a little easy. To preach to such outright materialistic and atheistic people who are so convinced of their ways of life, it's very difficult. That last verse for today. Sarveshu sasvat tanubhrusvavasthitam. Yatha khamatma namabhishtam ishvaram. Vedopagitam chana srinvate buddha. Manorathanam pravadanti vartayam.
The personality of Godhead is eternally situated within the heart of every embodied being. Still the Lord remains situated apart, just as the sky, which is all-pervading, does not mix with any material object. Thus the Lord is the supreme worshipable object and the absolute controller of everything. He is elaborately glorified in Vedic literature, but those who are bereft of intelligence do not like to hear about them. They prefer to waste their time discussing their own mental concoctions, which inevitably deal with gross material sense gratification, such as sex life and meat eating.
So, the Lord is situated in all beings, right? Although He is there in this material world, in the material bodies of many people, He is not affected by that matter, but Lord is present everywhere. But unintelligent people, they don't like to hear about Him. They speak prajalpa all the time. Right? Kshitratridhata virima muhuradyamana sitoshnavata varashair itaretarascha kamagnina achyutarushacha sudurbhairena. What is the last line? This is from Brahmaji's description of the spiritual world. So, no, 3.9. Kshitratridhata, prayers. So, why did, no, not this verse, I wanted to quote some other verse. Srinvanti yenya vishaya kukatha matighni. What is that verse? How does it begin? After describing the entire spiritual world in the 15th chapter of 3rd canto, Brahmaji says, people don't hear about Vaishnava, Vaikuntha. Read, open 3.15.25 or something like that. Yanna vrajanta gavido rachananuvada. ಶೃಣ್ವಂತಿ ಏನ್ಯ ವಿಷಯ ಕುಕಥಾ ಮತಿಗ್ನಿ. ಬ್ರಿಲಿಯಂಟ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ವರ್ಸ್. ಐ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದ ಅದರ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಎನ್ನ ವ್ರಜಂತಿ ಅಘಬಿದೋ ರಚನಾನುವಾದ ಶೃಣ್ವಂತಿಯೇ ಅನ್ಯ ವಿಷಯ ಕುಕಥಾ ಮತಿಗ್ನಿ. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ ಸೇಮ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿಸ್. ನುಭಿರಾರ್ಥಸಾರ ತಾಂಸ್ತಾಂ ಕ್ಷಪಂತ್ಯಸರಣೇಸು ತಮಸ್ಸು ಹಂತ. ಸೊ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಹೆಲ್, ರೈಟ್? ದೇ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ದೇ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ವೈಕುಂಠ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ವೈಕುಂಠ. ದೇ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾನ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಿಕಲ್ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್. ಕುಕಥಾ ಮತಿಘ್ನಿ, ದೇರ್ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಬಿವೈಲ್ಡೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ಡಿವೈಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ದೀಸಸ್, ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ದೆನ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಎಂಥೂಸಿಯಾಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಆನ್ ಹಂಟಿಂಗ್, ಡ್ರಿಂಕಿಂಗ್, ಗ್ಯಾಂಬ್ಲಿಂಗ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಕರ್ಷನ್ಸ್, ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪಿಕ್ನಿಕ್ಸ್, ರಿಟ್ರೀಟ್ಸ್. ದೇ ಗೋ ಟು ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟು ಡೂ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಷನ್. ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೈದರ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ನಾರ್ ದ ಇಂಕ್ಲಿನೇಷನ್ ಟು ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಆ್ಯಕ್ಚುಲಿ ನೋ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿನೆಸ್ ಇನ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಅಫೇರ್ಸ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಮೆರ್ಸಿಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಪನಿಷಸ್ ದ ಇಂಟಾಕ್ಸಿಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಟು ಬ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಹಿಸ್ ರಿಯಲ್ ಲೈಫ್. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಕ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಭಾಗವತಂ, ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಟೈಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಪೀಪಲ್, ಅವಜಾನಂತಿ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಡಿಸ್ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಟಿಲ್ 10th ವರ್ಸ್, 5 to 10. ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಆಲ್ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್. ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ, ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ. ಸೊ ವಿಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ದ ರಿಮೈನಿಂಗ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್. ಕ್ವಶನ್ಸ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಗಿವ್ ನೌ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಯು ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕಾನಾ ಡ್ರಾಮಾ, ಸಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು? ನೋ, ನೋ ಬಡಿ, ರೈಟ್? ಯು ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್. ಹೂ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್? 1, 2, ದೆನ್ 2 ಪೀಪಲ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಓಕೆ, ಗುಡ್. ಲೆವೆನ್ 11.4. ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ 10 marks, ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ 10 marks. ಟೇಕ್ ಅನದರ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್. Another question is, write the verse and translation of 11.4.2. And discuss the salient points from its purport. Second purport and first purport also. Salient points from first and second purports plus quoting second verse. That is 10 marks. Okay. Then 11.5, my first question is 10 marks. Second question is 10 marks. 5 times 50.